This is the world of Command Dork McFag. A dirty tubal can, I do more Mamza fag. The sex of Mamza ask a war, it's for a wife, it's a whore. Or so says the brag of McFag. On the asses of them kikes is McFag. The pixie's tongue, sass to mouth, it does wag. With this pecker in its hand, it can come on any man. Or so says the brag of McFag. Fucking and two butts and biting McFag does all is true. Yapping and crapping and cutting and blinking, McFag is a Jew. Doping and yapping with pecker or flapping and sticking to Timbuktu. Though shit does happen, McFag will keep yapping. McCandirk McFag comes through. This is the world of Commandork McFag. A double tubal can I do more Mamza fag. He sucks of Mamza's galore, it's for a wife, it's a whore. Or so says the brag of McFag. This is the world of Commandork McFag. A dirty tubal can I do more Mamza fag. McFag will do anything, if T Brain says it's a king. Or so says the brag of McFag.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, and mamzer ass clowns across the forbidden nutted Zog Plain, in the open air coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also to the pitiful few remnant of the found sheep of the house of Israel, to whom this show and these words are directed. Greetings. This is the Movement Turd, number 76. And tonight is the 26th of June, 2011. And I'm not quite sure what I'm going to call this program, but I think I'll call it, I think I'll call it Bowel Movement Juju Gooboo. Because yesterday I went ahead and found out that this Commandork McFag, McBrag, Gorilla Son of the Mist, whatever he calls himself, his actual name is Steve Elder. And last night on the Eli James's Christo Genos program, and also on the today on the Voice of Chris in Israel. Well, I call it the voice of dog, more like, but essentially, Eli ended up having to block all the guests because, well, you had trolls, and not just me. You see, once I went ahead and found out about Steve Elder being this Watcher in the Mist, or what the hell's his name? Commander McBrag. I call him Commandork McFag, but anyway, once I found out he was the actual true name, old Steve Elder was just having a little cow. Now, I ran him off yesterday afternoon off of Northwest Imperative, and he didn't know how to go ahead and come back. And, of course, he'd go ahead and make a little bit of threats or something like that, and he'd whine for censorship, but nobody listened to him, so he ran off. And he was talking to one of the people who listened, Math1488. So, essentially, he didn't go ahead and get his way. But now you end up having Obagender Bender Pisser Pister Possum going ahead and sucking up to Elk Covington. And, I mean, does Elk Covington know that you've had Hadding and Liar Bill DeCluse and the rest talking shit about him, and me, of course. Two and a Half Managers is all about talking shit about Linstead. That's about all it is about. Whining a little bit about Johnny Tonto and Marty Chomo, as they call us. But, in any case, it's all about censorship. Now, on the good news is that I'm soon going to get whitenationalist.org up, and I am soon going to go ahead and sue Brian Real, and I have a new tard to sue, the Steve Elder, and I will sooner or later find out his email address. But here you have a number of these retards, Eli James and the rest, and they're freaking out because guess what? One more of their tards has been outed been found out. And these people don't know what to do. Now, I went over to Neil's show with Roxy this afternoon, and we went ahead and bought a few supplies, groceries, what have you. And while I was thinking there, I went ahead and I talked to a few people in the Christian Identity community, the real Christian Identity community. And folks, most of them wonder, why are you worrying about it, Martin? Covington isn't Christian Identity. Covington sort of wants to use Christian Identity. We don't all get to trust Covington. So what difference does it make if Covington goes ahead and chooses these false retards and his little thingamajig collapses in a ring of what he calls goo-boo. Juju goo-boo. By Jews pretending to be Christian Identity, running around and censoring the genuine article that he has in order to hide the fact that Brian Rio is a shit-colored mamzer. Now, is that very smart? And the answer is, well, no, it isn't, but what am I supposed to do with it? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I do think I owe it to Hill Covington to go ahead and tell him. But it's, and I am going to go ahead and tell him via this internet radio show. By the way, I counted and I am 16 in the pocket behind. I realize that. And folks, I'm going to have to get onto it. And I said that last week. But folks, essentially I did get my Obongo lawsuit out this week. I did get things done. So folks, anyway, I think I'll call it Juju with the goo-boo. And this is episode number 76 of the 26th of June, 2011. So, folks, we'll go ahead and play the main song, which is for your problem. Because the reason you end up having that is because, not because of deluded Jews, or even smart Jews like Eli James, or deluded Jews, forced Jews, like Steve Elder slash Command Dork McFag, or evil, vicious Mamzers like Brian Real, a.k.a. Sword Brother, a.k.a. Sword Mamzer, and he's having his little show on right now. It's because we have a Whigger problem, that Whiggers allow themselves to be destroyed and beguiled, just like Eve was. And I have a question about trees. It has been posted by somebody. I'm going to go ahead and answer that tonight. So, folks, I'm waiting for Russ Walker to call, so Hail Victory, and we'll go ahead and play the theme song to the show. Hail Victory. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always easy drop. I wake up and right away, stupid Wigger come to mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being kind
gone stone. Our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem, which is always on my mind. The way they went to and fro, took the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wicked problem, fill the drop up to the top. The way they went to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they went to and fro, and they're always eating drop.
All right, folks, we have Russ Walker on the line. How are you doing, Russ?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, well enough. Yesterday I went ahead and found out that Commander McBragg, a.k.a. Son of the Mist, I call him Gorilla, Spawn of the Mist, or I call him Commander McFag, but his actual name was Steve Elder. And from what I gather, he had, about a couple months ago, he had gone ahead and moderated and banned away this message by one of Harold Covington's people who had said that Brian Reel wasn't white, that he was a mongrel. And here he was, he had about 700 posts talking like he usually does, like a retard, about his guns or how tough he is or how he knows karate or whatever. Well, the thing about it is, though, is Harold Covington don't allow ass clowns like that to play at being, part of his Northwest migration. You have to go ahead and give your name. And a couple years...
I didn't know he gave his right name, not an alias.
Well, from my gather, Covington had dinner with him, and he asked Covington to sign his book and when he bought it. He lives in Washington State. And what Covington did is he went ahead and signed it. Anyway, me and the guy who had his message deleted went ahead and complained to Covington. And Covington said, the guy is a harmless eccentric. He's not really mean or anything. Oh, by the way, we're broadcasting outdoors. He's not mean or anything. He's just a harmless eccentric. And if I go ahead and boot him out because of the silliness, why, I'll end up making an enemy and I'll be Harold the Jew. So the guy who got his message banned said, well, okay, I'll let you do as you see fit here, but, I mean, he shouldn't be going ahead and moderating or banning people who are telling the truth that Brian Reel isn't white. And Covington went ahead and looked, and his forum went down altogether. Went down in early March. So it became a sort of a moot point. But yesterday...
How did it come down?
Well, according to Covington, he went ahead and investigated what was going on. He found out that soon after, the forum went altogether down. And he said it was by this Canadian kid who he didn't know personally, and who just simply decided he didn't want to play Northwest Migration anymore. Maybe he wanted to go back to World of Warcraft, or maybe he wanted to go back to the Mounties or whatever. And so he ran off, took the domain name, took the passwords, took everything, and the forum was gone. No longer existed. And the guy ran off. So it became a sort of a moot point. But yesterday, here he is talking about Christian identity and, oh, how you need to talk to Eli James and all that. Oh, yes, we have trolls running around. We have some trolls running around here, but I can take care of them. Oh, yes. By the way, I'm known as Commander McBragg after the 1960s politically incorrect cartoon. And I'm also known as Son of the Mist. And so I immediately got up and, he went on talking about, bucking wood or bucking big logs, about how he needed knee pads. And I said, I'll bet you could use knee pads, McFag. And he went ahead and came up with all this crap, called me a child molester and all this sort of shit. But by then I already knew his name. And from my Gary, he lives around Locke, Washington or something like that.
Well, he said many times he lives in Western Washington. Look, I've lived in Washington 3 times. But there are a whole bunch of Stephen Elders listed here on People Search in the state of Washington. I have no idea where he is.
Well, there's a number. Yeah, there's quite a few of them. I mean, it's not all that common a name. I went ahead and, you know, from what I gather, he admitted from coming from a Pictish area of Scotland, and he said he was a Pict, and that got Pastor John Britton all up in arms because he thinks Picts are Canaanites. They're Jews, but they're Tubal Kenite, riverbed pot and people. And he didn't much care for McFag to begin with. But I went ahead and told him yesterday he has a job somewhere, and he sort of found that funny. But I was saying, well, what should I tell Covington? And essentially his position was well, why should tell him anything? I mean, who cares? Mainstream Christian Identity don't altogether agree with Harold Covington. Covington, they know of him, but they don't really care what he does or something like that. John Britton, he really isn't that crazy about living in Idaho, because this is not 1970s Idaho anymore. This is California Whiggers running to get away from niggers and beaners, California, and oh my God, why we came in order to do away with this Aryan Nation stuff. So as a result, being associated with Aryan Nations or Christian Identity is not a wonderful thing, and certainly not in Idaho. It's far more dangerous to be associated with it in Idaho than it is in, say, Missouri, or probably North Carolina. And as a result, he's not big on this Northwest migration, because as he looked at it, I don't need any more Whiggers, you know, running as refugees trying to go ahead and turn the place back to where they came from. Still there?
Yep, still here.
So, generally, and then there's other Christian Identity people who, well, they're not altogether crazy about Harold Covington, and they sort of look me askance because I've gone ahead and allied with them. And I went to Neosho with Roxy this early afternoon, and earlier here you end up having that gender bender critter who runs 2.5 Mamsers, the anti-Linstead forum that it claims is a Christian Identity forum, and it's sucking up to Covington, while at the same time Liar Bill the Clueless has been talking crap about me and getting along with these Pierce tards. He's against Covington because Covington's allied with Linstead, but at the same time you have Obi Genderbender sucking up to him. And this guy from the Northwest, he thinks I'll tell Covington something about this, about what sort of people are getting online and what sort of people he has in the case of Commander McBragg. Now, Commander McBragg is a complete weak idiot, isn't he? Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
He's not exactly someone you really want, because what he does, he believes in censoring people. I mean, you've seen where he goes ahead and he whines.
Definitely.
He whines every single time someone is making fun of him.
The thing that bothers me is Eli follows him like a little puppet.
Well, Eli does just like he does with Brian Reel. When Brian Reel used to be on there, he used to say, ban this guest, ban these guests, and then ban all these other guests. You have Maui Patricia. You have you had Brian Rio. You had a number of these people. Essentially, Eli James acted like he was, well, he's the little put-upon little father of a whole bunch of whiny little brats who just can't hurt that all the neighbor kids just don't play along with his little darlings very nicely. And what he will do is that he will go ahead and mute. He will go ahead and mute the guests, and this morning he went ahead and muted all the guests. Last night he muted all the guests in his previous show. I got to where as number 55, I went ahead and posted Commander McBragg's or Steve Elder's Facebook page. And I think I sent a copy of that to you. Did you see it?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, his Facebook page, his Facebook profile page.
That's what we're having problems with, Martin. I still haven't gotten it, honestly.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll go ahead and re-forward the thing to you later on. But as number 55, I logged on, posted it, and then logged off. So when they tried to get around to banning number 55, they couldn't ban number 55 because this number 55 was up. So therefore, that link was up there for everybody to see. So as a result, Eli James and Greg Howard figured out is that, guess what? We can't go ahead and let these people see this Facebook page of Steve Elder. So what they did is they just simply blocked every single guest. And earlier today, as guest number 10, I went ahead and fought with Eli James as guest number 5 or number 8. And Eli James called me a convicted child molester, and then he called me a slanderer. And I said, "Well, Eli, you're the slanderer. You know, Lynn Stead was never convicted." And then, he was locked up. You know, the government would lock anybody up unless they were guilty. Well,
that's slander in itself.
Well, slander, it's called slander per se. By saying something like that when he knows it's not true, I don't even have to prove maliciousness. It's malicious on its very face. It's called slander per se. And essentially, Eli James is essentially guilty of slander per se. You understand what I mean?
Right.
But I'm not going to sue him for slander per se. I'm going to sue him for taking down three of my web pages. Now, I think he's gone ahead and denied that several times, but I have on 7th January, saying he's just mad because we took down three of his websites here. And essentially, he was accusing me, and acting like he had the ear of the prosecuting attorney, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But here he is pretending that he's something that he's not. And all these people, all these little retards, Molly Patricia does it, all these other little retards, what they do is they whine, ban that guest. Well, now that Commander McBragg has been outed as Steve Elder, he can't really talk too much crap because, well, hey, Steve Elder, you're so tough, why don't you go ahead and see me? And I do think that, you know, he's gone ahead and said that's not his name, but I don't think that in order to join, he had to go ahead and give his real name because Covington wouldn't accept a false name. So I think that is his real name.
Did you talk to Covington? I mean, I don't know what kind of relation you have with
him. I'm going to go ahead and send him an email, and I'm not going to go ahead and say what I used to say, that, well, Christian identity people will be all mad at you if you don't get rid of these people, because the fact of the matter is most of the Christian identity people I'm in contact want me to go ahead and dump Harold Covington. A lot of the old-timers, they don't trust him or anything like that. The problem that I'm going to go ahead and say is that you can't claim you are getting the best of the best if you have somebody like Steve Elder or Commander McBragg who runs around censoring your new people simply for saying the truth that Brian Reed isn't white. And if you're going to go ahead and allow this retard to censor somebody for telling the truth, well, you're not going to get...
Fine with Eli. I don't see him censoring that particular comment.
No. What happens is Hale Covington. Hale Covington is not going to get any quality people if you end up having some part Jew retard censoring any new white guys who just go ahead and tell the truth. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, Harold Covington has to, he goes ahead and he argues that someday soon they're going to take away the internet from us. Now, it doesn't do him much good to be seen as helping somebody who has engaged, helped somebody who's engaged in censorship. Be it Steve Elder or Brian Reel or whoever, Eli James. You were talking to me I don't think you're ready to say that Eli James is a Jew. I keep on trying to push you because I keep on showing you that picture of these two Jews, between Rahm Emanuel holding a Hanukkah flamethrower and then saying, you know, then a picture of Eli James, and then saying, Occam's Law, Occam's Law, Russ, Occam's Law. How come you think that Eli James looks so much like this Sephardic Jew, or this Jew rabbi from Chicago? And I have a real good idea. Under Occam's Law, I think the reason that Eli James looks like this other Jew from Chicago is, well, guess what? I think it's because Eli James is a Jew from Chicago.
Yeah. What all the pictures you got? I'll agree with that.
Well, no, I didn't actually develop it. One of my Christian identity people went ahead and seen it, and he posted it two together. So what I did is I just took a screenshot of it, and saved it, and called it Eli James. And what it was a picture last December of two Jews, one of them that looks like a younger twin brother, Eli James, riding between Rahm Emanuel, and this was when he was running for mayor of Chicago. And I think somehow he went to court, and I think the dirty Jew ended up actually becoming mayor of Chicago, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he did. Well, they said they couldn't be mayor of Chicago because he didn't live in Chicago long enough, because he was living in Washington.
I went to court, and they decided he had whatever the deal was. I mean, I had nothing to do with it, so.
Well, I sort of think that I think some shekels went ahead and took place, but the Jew boy ended up... The Jew boy, well, shekels always change places in Chicagoland, but in any case, this was in December of last year sometime, around Hanukkah, and this Jew, one of these Jews in a hat, looks like Eli James' twin brother, and Eli James is facing away. I went ahead and joined them two pictures together, and, you know, didn't Photoshop it, just joined them two together. And I said, well, you know, I kept on saying, now you said, I think, you know, tonight is that you don't think Eli James looks like an Israelite.
No, he doesn't come across that way to me. He doesn't look like he's part of the family, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's a Jew. Martin, I really don't think it makes a damn bit of difference. He either speaks the truth or he speaks falsely, and I think he screwed up a lot of areas theologically.
Okay, well, I think...
From 500 to 1500 or something like that.
Well, now it's 800 to 1800 now.
I'm sorry, okay.
Well, he's changed it. It used to be 500 to 1500. Now it's 800 to 1800.
Okay, but just because the date's changed, the major principle is false.
So well, yeah.
It's not locked up for 1,000 years. I don't care what the hell the date was.
Well, the principle is Satan's, you know, locked for 100 years, you know, 1,000 years, but the thing about it is that British Israelitism, dual seed line, and Protestantism in general says that first there's a great tribulation, then Satan is locked up for 1,000 years, and then in Revelation chapter 20 verse 7 through 10, he gets loose for a short time, sort of like Napoleon from Elba. And he has just like Napoleon had over 100 days. Napoleon had about 100 days between Elba, getting out of Elba and Waterloo, and then being permanently locked up in St. Helena in a more secure island. Essentially, Satan, he's sort of like Napoleon. He's going to go ahead and fool all these people, Gog and Magog, and like the sands of the sea, they're going to encompass the camp of the saints, the holy city of Jerusalem. And Yahweh is just simply going to go ahead and bring down fire and destroy them all. All these people go ahead and believe Satan's lies. And folks, they won't have any excuse, because they will have had 1,000 years without Satan. And you read that here they is, meant Satan gets turned loose, they go back to following Satan, correct? I mean, that's what Revelation 20, verse 7, you know, verses 7 through 10 say.
I sure hope Yahweh's waiting for my approval.
Well, this is what gets me, is that I've seen this abuse when I was in Herbert Armstrong's church. If you don't give Herbert Armstrong money, or you use a doctor instead of the anointing cloth, what happens? That shows your faith, and you will be cut off from Jesus Christ. And pretty well my attitude, and I hated the way Herbert Armstrong used to pull that crap, scaring people that if they didn't pay 30% of their income to Herbert, minimum.
30%?
Yeah, well, what happens is he had a first tithe, of course. He had a second tithe, which you were supposed to use for holy days. Every 3 years, he had a third tithe, which was supposed to go to widows and orphans, but actually went to Herbert. And then you had offerings on top of that on the holy days. So usually some people are giving about 40% of their income. A third of their income or more to Herbert Armstrong. And, folks, you had a lot of poor people who went ahead and built all these big, you know, building projects and Ambassador College and all that. And Herbert just simply, well, Herbert didn't believe in anointing cloth. He believed in, well, using an oxygen tent when he got real old and buying expensive penis pump, you know, and prosthetic penis enlarger and all this sort of thing. So he could go ahead and screw this woman, 45 years, who was younger than him and who was part American Indian. He was the secretary of his Jew lawyer who became the treasurer, and all this sort of stuff. Well, what Herbert Armstrong preached and what Herbert Armstrong practiced were two different things, but he used to preach, he was God's apostle, and if you were kicked out or disfellowshipped, you, of course, would die in the lake of fire. And he used to scare people like that. Now,
the Mormon church uses the same thing, so do Jehovah's Witnesses, basically.
They all do the same thing. The concept of an ever-burning hell is a Babylonian construct. It's designed to keep people in line. It's designed to make them behave. It's designed to get them scared to where they obey.
Right.
They obey. And that is, you know, that is the whole purpose of this Babylonian construct. It's a religious construct as well as a political construct. That's why we call it Babylon. But you would have these people scared that they were going to go to hell because they didn't follow or they didn't obey Herbert Armstrong. And, you know, that is, you know, to my mind, that's sort of screwed up. That's sort of screwed up big time. So I don't go ahead and, but I see these people. And I've seen them around Fink, and I've seen them around Eli James, and they act the same way, is that I've got to go ahead and support everything Eli James does or William Fink does. Now, pretty well Fink is an abrasive person, and when he performs a criminal act on you, like he almost always certainly will, once he goes ahead and he sort of screws you, with Fink, most people get out from under him pretty quick. But with Eli James, he sort of tags him along. But I have had people.
James is a much smoother individual. He's not nearly as harsh.
No. That's why he's lasted 20 years in the movement. Now he has been caught. I mean, Wickstrom knows all about him. But then again, Wickstrom's mad because him and Dan Johns were bitching to him about how he ought to have stolen the wife of this. Of his ex-best friend.
Far from pure as the driven snow, I'll tell you right now.
Wow, Wickstrom would be in butler shoes if he kept his pecker in his pocket. But in any case, Wickstrom knows all about Eli James. He knows about Dan Johns. He knows about that they're not pure as the driven snow either.
Oh, I agree with you. The other day, Dan Johns was on talking about polygamy, blah 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 blah, and I didn't.
Oh, is he talking about polygamy? That retard is that retard
talking
still talking about polygamy?
Talking about polygamy. I didn't say anything, but I should have said, Dan, why don't you get monogamy down first before you get into polygamy?
Well, they call him sort of, well, he probably, you've heard of serial monogamy, a la Elizabeth Taylor. He's sort of serial polygamist, sort of like Brigham Young. You know what I mean? Brigham Young's last wife was more than old Brigham could handle. She went ahead, she kicked the traces over, and became a quote battered wife. So I think wife number 23. She wrote a book.
18 years old. He was in the 60s or something like that. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, well, he wanted to hump her here, but shit, she was a mulish little heifer. You know what I mean? And he just couldn't control wife number 23. I think it was. And she went ahead and wrote a book that she was wife number 23 or something here, and you know how old Brigham was just an old goat here, and you know, just went on and on and on, and I mean, it was sort of hilarious. But old Dan Johns, I mean, shoot, he couldn't keep wife number one in line, you know what I mean? We already talked about Sister Cherie, remember, a week or so ago?
I don't remember, that doesn't matter.
Okay, well, anyway, you know, Dan Johns, he's a sort of, you know, he has a bit of Mamzer in him, he has a little bit of Cherokee or something, he's from Georgia, and I'd like to know the name of, I think his son, he calls himself Legal Man, was one of the ones who was conspiring with Brian Rio to go ahead and take down my web pages. And anyway, I'll sooner or later find the name out of this critter, just like I did with Steve Elder. But you know, you wouldn't say that Commander McBragg is, you know, high quality people or a wonderful identity Christian or anything like that, would you?
Sit over in, please, Martin.
You would say that someone like, oh, I call him Commander McFag, but you wouldn't say someone like, Steve Elder is a high quality individual, would you?
I have no idea. I think he's bullshit. He's tough like Brian Rio, but he's fearful. You know, that's why all these guns. He's always talking about this martial art stuff and crap like that. Hey, his God is a gun, not Yahweh. That's my. He worships guns.
He worships himself. He's rather. He has all these little toys. But he don't really have the will to go ahead and actually use them. What he is he's a posturer. That's why somebody. Did you ever see a cartoon Commander McBragg? Hold on. Did you ever see the cartoon? The Tales of McBragg on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show?
No.
Well, you had this character named McBragg, and you know, the reason they call him McBragg is that he's just a boasting clown. He goes ahead and he tells an improbable story about how heroic he was, and then he goes ahead and he paints himself into a corner, and then he gets out, you know, he gets out by improbable means. He paints himself always into a corner, and then he gets himself out, and he brags and he brags and he brags on himself. And I think somebody went ahead and gave him that name, and he went ahead and said, well, hey, I guess he thought it was a compliment, and he uses it as a compliment. Now, I end up calling him McFag, and he don't like that, but in any case, he goes ahead and he blusters and he threatens and he talks about how many guns that he has and how tough he is. But, I mean, yesterday, and I'll go ahead and forward to you, you know, again, but he went ahead and essentially, he didn't know what to say because I had his name, and he has not showed up. He has not showed up on that Northwest Imperative website since. So, I mean, it's sort of, you know, I think it's sort of funny or at least ridiculous that he goes ahead and acts that way. But, in any case, most of, you know, I mean, you know, he's sort of in his own way, he's sort of like Brian Real. You end up, when you didn't know his name, you called him Brian Fearful, remember?
Right.
And Brian Real is, you know, he's just a Mamzer. He knows that when he dies, there's nothing there for him again. Once he's dead, he's dead. There's no more there for him. And so he lives, you know, he lives just like most Mamzers. He lives without any real hope, you know, any real belief. What it boils down to is that, well, I'm an Adamite. Why? Because I want to be an Adamite. I want to pretend to be white. I want to pretend to be a white supremacist. I want to pretend to be this. But he's not.
He's extremely insecure. That's the reason he's all of this gun stuff and his martial arts and everything else. To try and create an image in his mind, he's such a tough dude.
Oh, yeah, but he's not tough. I mean, I mean, you would have thought he had given his real name, wouldn't he have?
Well, he's afraid. He's full of fear.
Yeah, he's full of fear.
He was out, and that's the end of it. So, I mean, now, if Steve Elder is actually McKnight's name, and you have his name, someone else knows more about him. This thing will eventually crack open, that's all.
Well, see, the thing about it is that I don't want or need to put Harold Covington in the position to where he is telling me the real name or the real addresses or whatever of his followers. Even if those followers are not very good or not very smart or not very honest or not very anything good. You understand what I'm saying? So I could perhaps subpoena Covington, but I don't want to do that. And, you know, when I was going to town and I was thinking about what I, you know, said to Pastor John Britton and a few others, is that they're not too crazy about my alliance with Covington as it is. So, I mean, they're not really encouraging me to, you know, to go ahead and make it up with Covington or do anything, because they don't really care. They don't want anything to do with Harold Covington. So if I go ahead and complain that one of Covington's tards is mean to me, I'm not going to get any sympathy from him, is about what it boils down to. And I don't really expect any sympathy from him. I mean, it's really to go ahead, I think, and really help Harold Covington, because I do think it is worthwhile for, if you're young or something like that, it is worthwhile to move out of places like Florida or New Jersey or Arizona or California, and I do think it's useful to go ahead and move to places like Washington, Oregon. I think it might be useful. I don't advocate for myself, and I certainly don't advocate.
Sure, so wouldn't want to live there. Look, I've lived in Washington a couple times, and I've lived in Oregon, and at least west of the mountains. Well, it's you have rainy winters and dreary. East of the mountains, people don't realize 5/8 of Oregon and 5/8 of Washington is bone dry desert.
Well, that desert, I drove it. I sort of liked it. It was sort of like the High Plains. It wasn't desert. It was like the High Plains of.
I used to live in Richland, Washington, where they have that waste facility there. It is terrible. They get 5.5 inches of rain a year.
Was that all? Well, I went ahead and drove, and it looked like the High Plains of Oklahoma to me.
Well,
you had grasslands and stuff like that. It looked like you got about 20-25 inches. I mean, it was not.
Well, they get 5.5 inches of rain in Richland. If they don't water it, nothing grows. It's absolute bone dry desert.
Really? Okay, it's like Nevada, yeah, then, huh?
It's drier than Nevada. Nevada gets probably 11, 12 inches of rain a year, but that area up there in Richland, where they have that Hanford site, is the driest part of the United States.
Really?
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible place. I hate it. People up there on the project would quit left and right. They couldn't take it after a while.
So what were you doing up there anyway?
I was working on the vitrification project. Where they're going to put all this nuclear waste into glass. It's a bullshit project. It will never work. There are many engineers up there who know it will never work. It's so complex, it's beyond belief. But they
is that how they, instead of going ahead and storing it in pool like they did in Japan, what they do is they try to store it in stainless steel by going ahead and mix it with glass or concrete?
Put it into a damn mountain down there in Nevada. It's a screw-up deal like you wouldn't believe. It's a long story, Martin.
Oh, it's not good. You don't think it's going to work then?
There are many engineers who know it ain't going to work. I'm not the only one. But the fact of the matter, if they're up there, they're getting good money, they keep their mouth shut, and they go along with the program.
In short, what they do is they say yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir, and essentially try their best to go ahead and make some money off of it, right?
You're exactly right. Keep your mouth shut and go along with it.
Keep your mouth shut and go along with it here. So, I don't know, I do think that the Steve Elder is indeed Commander McBragg. That's why he was, he wanted to bluster, but the thing about it is that once I knew his name here, and I think he figured out that sooner or later, I'll go ahead and find him, and, I mean, being a coward, essentially all he can do is just run off here. Now, I don't know if you went ahead and looked at the chat. The chat was sort of funny. because here he is pretending to be, well, he wanted to boast and brag, but essentially all he can do is whine like a steer to Eli, oh, ban number so-and-so, ban no number so-and-so, ban no number so-and-so, ban all the guests. And earlier...
He's as bad as Brian Fearful in this whole damn thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Maui Patricia, she's sort of bad about it, too. I mean, all these people, if you go ahead and listen to them, what they do is that they'll say sort of stupid shit here to go ahead and show that they are in tune with the latest conspiracy theory. They don't actually know anything. They don't actually practice anything. But instead what they are is that they're in on the latest, or what they think that they ought to know. And what they are is that they're sort of like, I don't think a lot of them are white. I don't think a lot of them are Israel. I think they're critters who so want to belong to something, and they heard about Christian identity, and they so want to belong, and they so want to be into it, that the first critter that they fool is themselves.
Now, when I'm going to cut off preaching, and now we're taking off for a month.
Oh, okay.
We're going to Maine for a month because I can't take the heat in the south. It's terrible.
Well, it is terrible. And
we'll be back in August or the very last week in July.
Okay, so essentially what you're going to do is you're going to head on up and enjoy yourself then, huh?
Cool, that's all, yeah.
Well, I intend to have sued Brian Real. Are you going to take your computers or going to have internet access or what are you going to do?
You send me whatever you want to send me, but I'm not going to take anything. I don't have a portable computer. I don't like the damn things. And my attitude is life goes on without the computer stuff. When I get home, I look at it, and that's all.
Well, that's
I see people are there. They're tied to their telephones and everything else. I mean, the technology controls them. If your life is so fragile, you have to be in telephone contact all the time. Something's wrong. I don't know.
Well, Nietzsche says that it's uncivilized that only one day out of seven is not interrupted by the post office. Or something like that. Yeah, he lived in the late 1800s or something like that. They got nuts. They got sent to a nut house. But, yeah, I do see the point here is that Sunday, at least you can enjoy Sunday because you're not going to go ahead and get any, botheration here. In fact, I used to like it even when I was in the nut house or in the Newton County Jail because essentially that day was essentially a quiet day that you would, sleep or you would read your Bible or you would, do whatever you could to fight boredom. But anyway, Russ, I'll talk to you later. You have a good one, okay?
I'll see you.
All right, hail victory. Bye-bye, Russ.
Yeah.
Anyway. Russ is much too polite, but I don't think he has a high opinion of McFag. And I did get him to admit, not that Eli James was a Jew, but I did get him to admit that he wasn't Israel. He wasn't an Israelite. Didn't look or act like an Israelite. And folks, that is somewhat of an improvement. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and hook my computer up here. I'm going to go ahead and go inside. And looks like the battery died on my computer. It's not as up as it was nearly when I first bought it about 3 years ago. But not to worry. Anyway, I'll be going ahead and doing the next segment here before 9 o'clock. It's 8:30, so I'll be up again in about 15 minutes. Hail victory.
Gozer Dickey's Airship. To see what I can find, I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. His butt fuck is my hands, and his weather's all day. Wanna be a sword dancer in the SS. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SS. Wanna be a sword dancer in the SS. Sword man, the sword faggot in the SS. In the gay pride parade, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the dusty countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SS? Wanna be a sword faggot in the SS? Wanna be a sword mancer in the SS? Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SS! Today I grin when I see his bull whip. My sphincter's not discussing. I know it's still a drip. Get that good on butt. A gleam in my eyes. Call me Brian Real. I tell nothing but lies. I'll be a sword bender in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a sword bender in the SF. Sword bender, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword bender in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword bender in the SF. Sword bender, sword faggot in the SF.
Okay, folks, we don't have hardly anybody except me and one other in this particular chat room. I went ahead and advertised on Nimbusters. But, folks, I've been in negotiation with this free speech hoster, and from what I gather, I send them $55, and I can get whitenationalist.org back up, line, and running. Or if I can't, go ahead and get the domain name to point the right place, real quick, I'll go ahead and buy another domain name and get it over, get it posted on, get White Nationalist posted. So I should have the form up pretty soon. And at the same time, I'm going to be working on the lawsuit this week. I went ahead and answered my Obongo lawsuit, and I do need a web page. I've been out of commission for about, 4 months. Now, last night I went ahead and made a big old Mumps Nuts page to where I went ahead and responded in detail to Mumps Nuts or Liability Clueless's latest bullshit. And folks, over on Four Fags Thieves, you have Pastor Bill, a.k.a. Mumps Nuts Liability Clueless, sucking up with Wigger Swill Williams, the We Lost Mamzer, and Hattie, a.k.a. Scott David Spidell. But at the same time, yesterday I found out, because he was on Northwest Imperative Facebook page, he was talking to this kid who shows up as Massachusetts 1488, and he showed up and essentially was talking about Christian identity, and you have to listen to Eli James' stuff, and oh, by the way, I am known as Commander McBragg and sometimes the Son of the Mist, and I immediately pounced on it. Well, not immediately. It took me a little bit of a while, but essentially I said, well, McFag, that you? Your name is Steve Elder, and essentially Steve Elder didn't know what to do. Because that, from my guess, is his real name. And I do think it's real name because Hal Covington won't accept sock puppets. He won't accept anybody who's pretending. Well, it probably is questionable, but Hal Covington, I think, does know his real name. About 4 months ago, this Watcher in the Mist, he used that name on Covington's defunct Northwest Republic Forum. It was a PHPBB forum. He used that name, and he used it to go ahead and censor anybody saying, and it wasn't just me, saying that Brian Rio wasn't white, that he was a mongrel. Instead, he banned one of Covington's supporters. Well, anyway, he complained to me, and I went ahead and complained, and we both complained to Harold Covington, and Harold Covington says that, well, this guy, I met him, he's just a harmless eccentric. Well, see, even Covington knows that the character is a nut job. He's a kook. He's a freakazoid. But he said, well, I'll go ahead and look about the censorship. Well, he went ahead and looked in, and within a day or two, the site was down. And we was wondering, well, why is it down? And it turned out that somebody who Harold Covington didn't know had set up this site, and he was from Canada, and he ran off. Probably got scared off by the hate crime laws or what have you. And, Elder may be a questionable name, but Harold Covington knows his real name. Am I going to go ahead and give Harold Covington a hard time? I think that it is. I think that Steve Elder is indeed his real name. And somebody, said that they knew who his wife was. And the character has pretty well admitted to where he's out of work. He doesn't have any really good skills. Supposedly he's a so-called contractor, which means he's probably just a little gopher. And he doesn't have any real skills at all. He doesn't have any real means of doing anything. But if he's a little construction laborer or something like that, well, guess what? Because all these houses being underground, he doesn't have a job anyway. He's not going to have a job. So, in any case, his wife, who works as a government worker, is pretty well supporting McBragg, McFag, Steve Elder, what have you. And the character is not only like a pick, he's like a red nigger. He just has his females going ahead and supporting him. And that's the way it is with all the mud races, is that the nigger male just, you know, just pretty well just fights or screws, and pretty well leaves for the female or the she-boon to go ahead and raise the nigglets or what have you. And that's the way old Steve Elder or this other character is like that. In any case, this tard is still sort of sitting, he's still got the cable modem running or something like that on the Northwest thing, but essentially I ran him off. Now, he blustered and called me a convicted child molester and all this sort of thing and printed up the lies that Eli James wrote about me. And I point out that Eli James had gotten rid of those lies. I mean, it didn't look like I'm much of an FBI plant if, you know, Brian Reel and Eli James was taking down three of my web pages. I mean, what sort of FBI plant allows Jews and Mamzers to go ahead and take down his web page? That's not the way it is. So he went ahead and eventually he blustered a little bit, but he ran off. And folks, I end up having a Facebook profile, and let me go ahead and find that Facebook profile that he claimed he was with here. Let me see. Okay. I'm looking for it, folks. Okay. He's big friends with Steve Elder. Nut job. Now, here in Southwest Missouri, it's been threatening to thunder all day, but it hasn't done so yet. Let's go ahead and see if I can't go ahead and post it. Okay. Now, folks, if you go ahead and look at that profile, don't that sound just like McFag? I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. And he's into karate or JK, whatever here. He's into his little martial arts and playing tough guy and doing all this sort of stupid shit. And then he has, a little prophecy notion here, like a little incantation. And, the doofus has a religious view, National Socialist. He has a whole bunch of people who supposedly are his friends, and they're the same friends that he usually has: MacDawg Williams, Boobert Ephraim Manasser, and he has all these friends who are tards, of course, just like him. And Boober Assa, I think it's this guy named Joe Stacky out, Joe Stack or something like that. So, hey, April Gady. I'll go ahead and talk to April Gade, but he has a bunch of these people. But what he does is he pretends to be Christian Identity. Oh, Dan Johns. Dan Johns and all these other people here. He has all these characters. And I'm looking at this sort of thing. He's friends with John the Nutjob. So, he's with Morris Lynn Gillette. Oh, Mo Gillette. Paul Fromm. Why ain't he friends with little Floyd Manzer? And the Washington State Militia, no less. Well, let's go ahead and see what the Washington State Militia has to say about this nut job. So, look at this here. American Resistance Movement. Well, look at this sort of thing. It's a constitutional militia. Okay, since 2007, all races, genders, creeds, and affiliations. When we say we're a constitutional militia, we're a pro-government militia. Oh, and he goes ahead and he comes up with a stupid crap there. WashingtonStateMilitia.org. Well, they got their own little militia, and they got George Washington's head carved onto a Greek god. So, what to say? Not on our watch. Oh, come on, you tards. You gotta laugh at some of this stupid crap here. But yeah, that's McFag for you. That's McFag thinking for you. So yeah, I think that it is Steve Elder. Oh yeah, well that's what he went ahead and said, that Washington prophecy. Now folks, I don't know, but that Washington prophecy seems to me, I mean, I never remembered hearing about that shit back when I was a kid. It came out about the time the internet was a pup here. Oh, with the guy doofus in the... I mean, I don't actually see a real photo here. If you have a photo, if you could go ahead and do it here. Oh, the Facebook picture? Well, it shows him dressed up in a little knight's thing or something like that. Now, Oh, isn't that medieval? Yeah, but you don't see his face. I gotta wonder if he got a big old kike snout or a tubal canine or, you know, a kike snout here. So I would say that Steve Elder is indeed, because Hell Covington probably wouldn't let him go ahead and act like an ass clown all by himself here. So you have Steve Elder, McFag, whatever, running around like an ass clown. Well, last night, I went ahead and said, well, how come you didn't tell us your real name was Steve Elder? Oh, ain't my name. This is my Fed book name. And then he went ahead and made it his Fed book name. And he got all defensive. And essentially, Greg Howard, Elias' little skillet-licking wigger-tard, Bill Priest kept on banning me again and again and again and again. And he called himself Edomite Thumper or some other little tard. It might have been Matt Twat Zogbot. You never know. But he kept on banning. And eventually, when number 55 posted that Facebook profile page and then logged off so it stayed up and it couldn't be, you know, dismissed. Essentially, Elier Had the entire room blocked. Okay. Steve is the first name McFag has used in the past. Okay, well that is, okay, I'd say it is McFag. What happens is that somebody said that his wife's name was Susan or something. And folks, I'll just go ahead and do a Google search on the white pages and in, you know, Washington State, Steve and Susan, you know, Elder. And if you went ahead and looked at the thing here, he said he lived in Locke or Losey, Washington, wherever the hell that is. And sooner or later McFag is going to be outed. And once he's outed, why, being a coward, being a little Anglo-Mestizo coward and a little pinkish hybrid nigger mamzer, why, he is not going to want to pretend to be, well, Christian identity or anything like that, because he's scared. He is a cowardly little critter. So, in any case, and I do think I'm going to go ahead and add McFag's name to my lawsuit. I mean, since he's a big supporter of Brian Real, why, he can go ahead and pay some of the damages that Brian Real has done to my webpage. I'm not worried about my reputation. I mean, people like me, they like me. If they don't like me, they don't like me. But, well, yeah. I mean, why is he such a supporter of the Mamser? Why is Eli, you know, supporter of the Mamser? Now, earlier today, when I was talking to Russ Walker, I never can get Russ Walker to admit that Eli James is a Jew. I keep on pointing out that picture was about the two, you know, Chicago Jews flanking Rahm Emanuel at Hanukkah, you know, December of 2010. But essentially, I got Russ Walker to admit that Eli James is not an Israelite. He's not an Israelite. He don't act like an Israelite. He certainly don't look like an Israelite. He's not an Israelite. So, you know, pretty much, you had him blocking him, and McBragg was whining like a pussy, block him, block him, block him, block him, please. And he wasn't near as belligerent. He got belligerent again toward the end once he got everybody blocked. But essentially, McBragg, Steve Elder, whatever, he's a total Mamser coward. He's a total cowardly little dork here. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you have this old Greek woman, and I don't know. John Britton thinks she might be an Israelite. You know, I don't know. I really don't. Don't really know. So, anyway, she knows that Think is no Greek scholar. That's, you know, that's enough for me. You know what I mean? Well, I don't think there is either. I once, well, when I was in the Army in Europe, these Lance missiles, their average range was 75 miles, and that was way too big for Grafenwehr. You know, Grafenwehr was this big old long stretch where the German Army, you know, in 1930s, used to train, and it got taken over, and then you had the Americans, you had the British, you had the French, you had the Germans, everybody trained at Grafenwehr, but it wasn't big enough to use missile artillery. Not even Hawk missiles, which were anti-aircraft for, anti-aircraft missiles, you know, which were, I think, run by radar or something like that. But they had a guidance system or something like that, too. Anyway, we would go down to Crete. Every battery would fire a missile. And the missile cost a couple $1 million apiece. And you, of course, we're not firing a real warhead. It was usually a dummy warhead filled with concrete or something inert. Maybe lead, I don't know. Something inert, you know, to go ahead and simulate the weight of a missile. And when I got there in June of 1981, the firing section was down at Crete, and they did not have a good missile launch that year because one of the stupid niggers had not clicked on one of the four control surfaces. Now, control surfaces means fins. You had four fins around a Lance missile. You would mate the warhead up with the missile body, and then you would put the four fins, and then you would put it on this aluminum launching thing. And since there was only two elevations, and one elevation wasn't used, all it really needed was an azimuth screw. It didn't really need that, because usually on a firing point, you'd go ahead and have that firing point, you know, you'd go ahead and take a piece of white tape and put it in the middle of your, it was based on a 113 chassis. And what I had was a little crane to go ahead and join the missile head, the warhead, and the missile body. And this stupid nigger didn't click on one of the freaking control fins. Control Services, a.k.a. known as FINS, Four FINS. And from what I gather, that, you know, that, that couple million dollar missile acted just like it was a bottle rocket with only about 3 inches of stick, you know, 3 inches of stick left here. The rest of it snapped off. See, the stick on the bottle rocket is designed to go ahead and give it, oh, sort of a guidance here to go ahead and make it. If you go ahead and you take off the stick or bust the stick off, you have what you call a wet willy or a weasel. And it just goes and flops around, you know, it has, you know, well, that's what that missile is like. And it flopped and flopped and flopped around, flopped off the cliff into this little plateau just before it hit the Mediterranean Sea on the island of Crete. And in any case, it was, I never seen that. But I did go down in 1982. I was one of the people who, held a rope. And our particular section, you know, our particular missile section that I was training with was not the one chosen to, was the one that won the inspection of the dog and pony show. So I got to go ahead and sit and see the thing being launched off in the little, little walled off glass amphitheater or something like that, to where you got to see it. First they launched a Hawk missile, and then they launched the Lance, which was bigger. Not much bigger, but bigger. Well, twice as big. So that's where he went to go ahead and fire that missile. How the hell did I get onto the Lance missile system? I don't know. But anyway, McBragg likes pretending to be something that he's not. He's pretending to be an Aryan. He's pretending to be, a number of things. And here's Eli James going ahead and protecting that, you know, protecting his little man's retard. And me and Eli James, or me and Russ Walker were talking about, because he got on there and essentially, Russ was plugging away, censorship is not of Christian Israel, and he was doing that with the Floyd Manzer show tonight as well. But, no, you have these people, and it's gotten to where, essentially, by outing McBragg, I forced Eli James to go ahead and ban all the guests for the first time in a couple months. And, earlier I think he figured out it was me. He called me a convicted child molester. I said, well, you're slandering, Eli. Then I said I was never convicted. And essentially, Eli James was all huffy. I'm going to go ahead and use that section to show that Eli James is just a lying Jew. If he goes ahead when I sue his worthless ass for taking down my web pages, and sues me for slander or defamation, I'll just go ahead and show that he committed slander per se, i.e., I don't have to prove malice. He went ahead and said that I was a convicted child molester. That's slander per se. All you have to do is prove that he said it. You don't have to prove maliciousness on his part, because it's a malicious thing to say, per se. So, in any case, but the thing about it is, these retards are, sort of acting up. They've been hiding. And in any case, I'll go ahead and talk for about another 10 or 15 minutes. But what you end up having is that I'll go ahead and get my forum up, and I'll go ahead and get my web page up. And the forum will take a little bit more time. But go ahead and get it up as whitenationalist.org. And I'll probably keep the Brian Real stuff out for a while, or keep it under admin, but eventually it'll go ahead and go to the front, be sniffed out along with the lawsuit. And Brian Real won't have any room to bitch about the lawsuit. In fact, I will go ahead and be suing a number of companies or a number of corporations. Okay? So, it looks like, things are going on. By the way, I'm up to 16 shows in the bucket. I needed to go ahead and bring these shows back up. But with Hal Covington, you have this, you have just like McFag or Steve Elder being a censorship tard, censoring people. like he censored this one guy who went ahead and said Brian Rio wasn't white. How in the world can you have a quality organization if you're going to have allow somebody who's probably a partial Jew or Mamzer censoring some white guy who is saying, hey, guess what, this Brian Rio, he's a definite Mamzer tard who is censoring white nationalist web pages. He's taking them down. He's pulling all this crap. And folks, you can't go ahead and have that. Now, like I told this guy, you know, he's a Covington believer. You know, it's Northwest. He's a Covington believer. But I was pretty well telling Pastor John Britton about this. Today and yesterday. And Pastor John Britton doesn't really care what I do with Covington. He's not a Covington supporter, even though he lives in Idaho. He's not too crazy about having a bunch of Uyghurs running away from whatever and then thinking they're going to be big and bad and bold and tough doing all this sort of thing. And he doesn't really dislike Harold Covington, but he doesn't really like him either. And I got a few other people who, in Christian Danny, who have given me somewhat of a hard time of saying, why did you ally yourself with Harold Covington? And like I said, Harold Covington, he's not Christian Identity. I've many times said is that I think Harold Covington's plan is doomed because, well, shoot, you don't have a thousand good men in the entire Zogland, much less flying them in the great Northwest. And if you're going to have as one of your great old alpha males, someone like McFagg, who's a Mamzer, who goes ahead and supports old censorship and believes he's Christian Identity when he's just a Mamzer, I mean, that's sort of deluded, isn't it? That's sort of delusional, isn't it? And the answer is, of course it is. Okay? So, anyway, it looks like I've been booted off here. I went ahead and upgraded my TeamSpeak software, and it looks like I'm not having very many people on it. But in case, the problem is if you have somebody like McBragg or Steve Elder, who's a censorship retard, a Mamzer, who's censoring white people, who has to go ahead and beg for censorship, who has to go ahead and play with his guns, you're having somebody who isn't very smart, who isn't very up with it, who isn't very intelligent. And what can you do with somebody like that? And the answer is nothing. Can't do anything with that. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break here because it looks like nobody else is on the TeamSpeak channel except me. So I'll be back in just a little bit. Hail Victory. Well, I'm not quite sure who guest number three is. He's recording. Well, the thing about it is that the only blonde, blue-eyed people I've seen there were the Greek, were the German tourists. And, well, you know, I mean, we're the tourists. In Greece, or in Crete, the only blondes there were, of course, the tourists, but mainly you had these Germans. The Germans were the very best at non-radar anti-aircraft guns. They had the best shots. They would hit a target towed by an ancient MiG-21 fighter about 20% of the time. Everybody else was hopeless. The Germans, you know, they get about maybe 8%, and the number two was a Dutch or something. And anyway, any case, getting on, yeah, we're on the air. And I went ahead and seen them, and essentially they were just brown people. You know, these Greeks are brown people. And they've been interbred with the Turks. Now, they hate the Turks. They told us when we went down there, do not call anybody a turkey. Because the Greeks hate the Turks. Do not call anybody a turkey. So, okay. Must be MP. Okay, I'm not quite sure who MP is here. Oh, it ain't Obagenderbender? All right. Well, Obagenderbender has claimed to be on this TeamSpeak show quite a few times. I don't know if it's Sobieski or who it is here. But anyway, and I don't really care. But there were not too many. There were not any really blonde Greeks. Now, when I used to go to Silver Dollar City in 2003, and take my mother, and take Roxy, and take our grand, take Helen when she was real young, and then Bub. What we would do is we go to Silver Dollar City, and one time they had these little children, this little Macedonian chorus. And what they would have is that they would have little, some of them would have blonde hair, but most of them have a little bit of blonde hair mixed in with, you know, rather dark brunette hair. And they were still brown-colored people. So even the Macedonians, and this was when they were having trouble with Kosovo or something like that, or having something with it, these Macedonians, who were the lightest of the Greeks, were still pretty, you know, pretty dark. They had a little bit of remnants of white, you know, in their hair, something like that. And some of them would be even lighter colored eyes, but they're still, they might be yellow eyes or light brown eyes, but you know, I never see any blonde, blue eyed. I see a little bit of blonde in their hair, but no. Your Greek, it's pretty well been bred out. Now, speaking of Germans and Greeks, I went to Athens and got on the train station, and I used as my baggage my duffel bag that said Charlie Battery, 2nd 42nd Field Artillery, APO, New York. Well, I mean, skeleton structure is some of it, but, you know, shit. Let's say I seen a long-haired, a long-headed Mamser. You know what I mean? I mean, he has, you know, burnt cork eyes and all that, huh? Well, okay, well, according to forensics here, the thing about it is I'm talking about people who are alive that I've seen. I'm not able to see their skeleton, okay? I'm not able to see their skeleton, you know, so forensics don't really matter. I'm not able to see their skeleton, huh? Okay, well, I mean, guest number three, you probably know more about than I do. Generally, as I look at it, I'll go ahead and look at him and say, well, you know, he looks like a white guy to me. He looks like a white man to me, or a white person to me. Or he looks not quite white to me. Or he looks like a freaking Jew to me. Or he looks like a nigger, or a duke, or a spicker, what have you. And I'm quite sure there are, you can go ahead and name them here. But Joe, I sort of think there's three main races: whites, yellows, and niggers. And then there's mixtures of them, and yeah, I guess you could say. You might very well have a better point than I do. I mean, I'm not an anthropologist, okay? And yeah, there's a lot of, well, that's true. They can, when they dig up my dead ass, they can identify me, and I guess, I'll look like some, like I was telling John Britton, it took me about 50 years for it to happen, but shoot, my body size, my body weight, and what happens is I got a bunch of these here little white things sort of hanging, from my armpits here, dead pieces of skin here, a little bit of whatever in it, and be danged, it took me 50 years, but I begin to look a lot like Fred Lindstedt. I begin to look like just a fat Swedish peasant is what I'm looking like. I'm just a big fat Swedish peasant is what I look like, and I begin to morph into Fred Lindstedt. And I didn't, I wasn't too crazy about Fred Lindstedt. It wasn't because he was racist, which he was. He didn't even like Norwegians. But the thing about it is that, bodily wise, I'm beginning to look a lot like Fred Lindstedt. Now, that's a good thing. I mean, he lived to be age 95, and he smoked like a chimney every day. So he, supposedly was the sickly one of the bunch here, but he outlived every single one of them. Except for his sister-in-law, Ethel, who lived to be 104. But in any case, what the other races are, it is a slow show tonight. But these Greeks, they're very, very, very dark. But when I went to Athens, I seen these Germans, and they had here I was with a cheap old duffel bag that I used for my carry-on luggage. I mean, essentially, it didn't have any uniforms. It just had my civilian clothes and, field jacket or something like that. I really wasn't going to be in uniform. But it had my poncho liner and stuff I used to camp out in Germany. And pretty well I used the same thing. And my sleeping bag. And essentially I just lived out of a duffel bag. Well, here are these Germans, and they have this expensive, brand new, expensive, nylon clad suitcases or whatever. And from what I gather, some Greek drunk had crawled into the, somewhere got in there, and these expensive suitcases were put into a puddle of Greek puke, where this, Greek had been sick like a dog and puked, and essentially the Greeks didn't give a crap. And these Germans were just bitching. This, it was a fat German about maybe in the 50s or 60s. His wife, she was fat too. And they were bitching about how he had ruined their expensive new suitcase here. And they looked to me as the only other white man and said, what do you think? And I said, well, this is nicht Deutschland. Das ist Griechenland. Which meant, this isn't Germany, this is Greece. I mean, essentially, you can't expect the standards that you do, from the excellent German rail station or the excellent anything to be associated with Greece, because you're in Greece. And they didn't much care to hear that. But the Greek, the German, Well, what happens is that these Italians are getting fucked. I mean, they should have left old Gaddafi in charge of Libya rather than fuck with him, because Gaddafi, what he did essentially is that if they wouldn't give him a hard time, he'd tell the frogs, he'd tell the, the Italians, he'd tell the Spaniards or the Spics, he'd just say, hey, look, I'll keep all these freaking niggers from, leaving Libya to your shores, especially since Italy is the closest to Libya. I'll go ahead and Libya used to be owned by Italy. I'll go ahead and keep these niggers off if you just go ahead and don't give me a hard time and support that here. So, they are. Who's responsible for that? And the answer is Whiggers. I mean, it's like Camp of the Saints. I don't know if you ever read that by Gene Raspail, but it's about these Indian niggers invading, Provence, France. And essentially, the frogs are too chicken shit to just shoot them niggers down, okay? So, folks, it always comes back to a Whigger problem, okay? Well, Whiggers with Jews in their heads is what they have. Whiggers essentially are little Shabbos Whiggers. They want to go ahead and be so loving to Jews here. Well, the Jews fuck them here. It's sort of like the pigs. The pigs go ahead and support the Jews, even though Jews are stealing the pension funds. By the way, did anybody see that New Jersey? The fat governor there, pretty well told the fire pigs, the pigs and the teachers union, that they would have to pay more into their pension fund, and they would get less from their pension fund, because New Jersey was not going to go ahead and make up for all the years of not funding the pension fund. So we're going to have to get it on a more paying basis, and guess what? You people are going to have to pay more. And these fire pigs and pigs and teachers' unions were fussing and pissing and moaning, but there was anything to do about it, okay? Well, I'm not going to start another talk show here. Anyway, the thing about it is that it made him popular with the taxpayers. Pretty well everybody's saying screw all these public servants and all that, because we don't have a pension. I was looking at 60 Minutes. Oh, by the way, they just got done with their Branson Cares telethon. The little quitters in Branson were showing in Joplin stations and showing in Springfield a little telethon for Joplin. So Branson was having all these has-beens and never-wases, and some of them were fairly good, and they were showing pictures of devastation. Branson, I had the thing on, and I was sort of recording a little bit, some of it on my DVR. But, they were just going ahead and showing that. But by the way, getting on with it, I went ahead and I just brought in our Great Tribulation stuff about what's going on currently. But let me see, getting on, what was I going to say? Well, in any case, you don't have any real white people left in Greece. You might have one or two, maybe, but it's sort of like finding a pure-blooded Brahim in India. When I was taking world religions, you had one Brahim, and he looked like he was from Arkansas. He looked like an Arkansasian. And from what I gather, he married a white Englishwoman. And, well, he wasn't from New York. They just did the gay marriage. But anyway, he married a white English woman or something like that here. But you don't have any, I tend to doubt that you have any white people left in Greece other than, well, the tourists. They've been mating with each other and with the Turks for a long time. And Brahmin, B-R-A-H, Brahmin, yeah. Anyway, the thing about it is I don't know how it survived. I don't know if it's sort of like, they sort of said that the wild auroch, A-U-R-O-C-H, the wild cattle, the wild bulls of the woods, They figured out that, you know, from what they can tell, this is the last one survived until about 1637 when it was killed. Yeah, well, old Phipps over on Stumble Inn, he used to freak people out. He used to have a little avatar of a blue-eyed nigger. Little nigger looked like a little blue gum, but, you know, he'd freak everybody out because it was a nigger with blue eyes. Blue gummed, blue eyed nigger. You don't laugh at that here. Blue gummed, blue eyed nigger. But, occasionally it does happen. But I don't know if the guy was a pure blooded white from left over from what, 4,000 to 3,500 years ago? Or what he was. But from my gathering, he couldn't find any very, very, very looking white, so he went ahead and married some English woman. And so, I don't know. Maybe he went ahead and put a little mud in her family. Who knows? But, folks, what we have is we have a wigger problem, just like usual. And, you have what's called sports. You have what's called sports, but usually, like Lothrop Stutter said about the French in Santo Domingo, the French found out that didn't even really matter at all about whether, you know, once you screwed with niggers, it didn't matter if for six generations you kept on, you know, breeding with white people, you'd end up having a blonde-looking nigger, but eventually they'd revert back to nigger if you didn't have any more white blood added to them. See, that's the reason why it says a mamzer shall not enter into the congregation of Israel, not even to the 10th generation. And then people say, well, how do you know that not everybody's a mamzer? And the answer is that I do believe that not everyone's a mamzer because, folks, there has to be an elect for Jesus Christ to come back after this great tribulation. So, you know, do I know for sure, you know, my ancestry going back 10 generations? And the answer is no. No, but I do have very much of a very good idea that my people, or that my folks, you know, came from southwest Sweden, most of them. Some came from Prussia. And when they came over here, and the last of them were here about 1884 or so, but yeah, they were white people. And that they had, even though they weren't, quote, racist, well, they were racist. I mean, you know, they moved to South Dakota. There was no niggers there, and they sure as hell didn't like the prairie niggers. They did not like the Indians at all. Even if they liked the Indians, I mean, my grandmother Emma, her second favorite grandchild, my cousin Junie, married a Cheyenne Indian. And the old woman was keening for about a day and a half. Junie married a damn Indian! Junie, my granddaughter, my beautiful granddaughter, is marrying a Indian! Oh, she was not at all thrilled at that. And, you know, one of her best friends was this full-blooded Sioux Indian. You know, one of my grandmother was a Mormon. But she wasn't worried about Sue because, hey, Sue wasn't going to marry into her family. She could be buddies with Sue. I mean, Sue was actually what they called an apple Indian. Old Sue was actually, she kept her house perfectly clean. And she, you know, it wasn't like a BIA or Bureau of Indian Affairs set. So, she didn't, essentially, she didn't like what happened at all. And essentially, She didn't officially disown her, but she was no longer really mentioned anymore. My grandmother, huh? What about this Randy guy? Oh, Randy Turner? Randy Turner? Well, Randy Turner is a glibber wigger butthole fag. He used to write shit about me in the newspaper when I was locked up in the nut house here. But, in any case, getting on with it, I don't really know what to say here. I'm sort of tired, and I don't have very many people on here, and I got 16 in the bucket, and I need to work on it here. Well, my brother is a real wigger, yeah. He's a real thieving wigger. So, Well, we can pick this up. I mean, I think we can go ahead and pick this up next time. Huh? Well, he did what he did. Saturday I went out down to get the mail. And I get a letter from this nut. He's now St. Joseph. Well, yeah, it's wrong to be a thieving wigger. And he wrote a letter. He's up in South Dakota right now. He wrote a letter to his girlfriend. And they put it in my mailbox. So I'm going ahead looking at it. And it's addressed to Crystal Courtney. You know, not Mrs. Winstead. It's addressed to Crystal Courtney. And I guess old Peter isn't going to marry his bitch here, even though she had his pup. So it was from my mother's house up in Midland, South Dakota. And, hey, he's just the way it is here. And the thing about it is Crystal's more evil than he is, and Crystal's going to screw him out here. My job is to make sure that, you know, he doesn't have any family money other than his own to go ahead and be taken by that evil bitch. I mean, I asked my friend what she was like, and he said, hey, she's a bitch on wheels, so hell, she's worse than he is. But, getting on with it. Well, I've noticed that most people are like that. Most people are just selfish, amoral, treasonous, lying wiggers. Sort of like over on 4FA Thieves. They went ahead and censored APOC for going ahead and posting the liar Bill the Clueless, Mumps Nuts, claimed that he was a Air Force veteran with an honorable discharge of only 2 years service from the ages of 17 through 19. Folks, there's no such thing as a 2 year stretch in the Air Force. Minimum 3. Usual 4, 5, or 6 year stretch. Okay? Oh, yeah, okay, it looks like old Math 1488 there. Look, Math 1488, if you're worried about your name getting out, don't use your real name on Facebook. Because if you get it out on Facebook, everybody knows it. Okay? Everybody knows it. What you need to do is, since you're not in the Great Northwest, Covington doesn't need to know your name, okay? And yeah, they censored, they censored all the guests here. Pretty well, Elier, for the first time in about 2 months, 3 months, has had to censor all the guests. And that's pretty well my, action here. But what got me last night is that when I was trolling, it wasn't just me that was going ahead doing a shark attack. Pretty well about 2 or 3 other people got involved. And eventually, when his guest number 55, I went ahead and posted Steve Elder's Facebook page profile, and then locked off, and you know, so they couldn't go ahead and delete it. They went ahead and blocked all the guests last night, and they blocked them this morning. Well, folks, here you have over on 4FX Feeds, you have Liar Bill claiming he was a 2-year veteran of the Air Force. And, folks, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and have about a couple minute pause, and I figure out what I'm going to go ahead and talk about next. I'm going to go ahead and do the Liar Bill, the Clueless segment, so we can go ahead and play the song about Liar Bill, the Clueless, okay? So hold on, folks. Well, yeah, it is censorship. Liar Bill, the Clueless, you mumps nutted, niglet niece molesting sack of shit, with an 85 IQ on a good day, 250 pounds of dog shit and a 150-pound sack, who begged and begged and begged for me to ordain it, and then went ahead, after 3 days, went sucking back to Clunt Downey and a little meerkat. You've been talking shit about me on 405 Thieves here. What the hell does a sorry sack of shit like you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I am. I'm asking, I'm like, yeah, I made a mistake because I'm weak, but you know, I don't want to do that anymore. Please help me to not do this anymore.
Why don't you go ahead and sing your little theme song here while you're at it? Hornier, the Kunta Kinte at a Victoria's Secret shoot. That night I strolled in at my Mud Shark Sisters project flat looking for love. It had been a while. In fact, 365 had come and went since on Clan of Mamzer spying for Zog on Ron Edwards. I had picked up this shit skin that was sweating gallons through a pair of Daisy Duke cutoffs and one of them blue loom tank tops. Well, that night, I lost myself to nigger blubber lips, paper bag shit skin, and flat gook eyes. Name was Brian. The coontang is so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the coontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill, which an equal grinds me against its will. Yes, the coontang is so much better than the nigglet is crying. Well, faster than you can say Sally Hemings, my nigglet nieces come up to me and start seeing my balls like hard-boiled eggs in a tube sock. Said her name was Shaniqua, and I said, well, that's a coincidence, darling, because I was just thinking about humping you like Master Tom. And so she smiled, had about as much teeth as a jack-o'-lantern, and I went on to tell her how I would wear tang like a mask as I do my little cookie dance. And then she told me to shush. I guess she could sense my desperation, because it's hard to hide a hard-on when you dress like a beach ball. Dang, you're so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the coontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill when Leticia drives me against its will. Yes, the coontang is so much better when the nigglet is crying. So Leticia's going on about how she's going to make all my fantasies come true. So I says, even this one where I have where Bill Fink is jackhammering Eli or James in a doo-doo hole with Ron Dart, as Dicky Barrett gives birth to something resembling a fish-skin dew-gollum with a wet manjana and a three-inch lady stick, well, two nickel bags, 3 minutes and $30 later, I'm slapping my mom's best in coontang. Coontang, if you know what I mean. Got the nailer back at Sister Sharon. Huh, they rhyme. I have to admit, it was even more of a turn-on when I found out she was munching down on baby formula.
Yes, the coon tang is so much better when the niglet is crying. Yes, the coon tang is so much wetter when the niglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill when Leroy grinds me against its will. Yes, the coon tang is so much better when the niglet is crying. Dear Sword Pass, when I went to a special agent in charges, there I was browsing through the latest issue of STLC Informants, and when I saw Shanique was staring at me from the back of a milk carton, well, my heart just dropped. So I decided to do what any good Zogbot would. You cannot imagine how difficult it is to hold a half gallon of moo juice and need the wide-eyed gopher when your mustache expands while driving back to the project. I never thought the missing niggas could be so sexy. Did I say that out loud? Coontang is so much better when the nigglet is crying. Yes, the coontang is so much wetter when the nigglet is crying. Well, I find it's quite a thrill when Kimya grinds me against its will. Yes, the coontang is so much better when the niglet is crying. Okay, we're back. I decided to do another segment of the Movement Turd. And it's about Liar Bill DeClueless, a.k.a. Mumps Nuts. Now, over on Four Fags Thieves, Mumps Nuts has been whining and bitching and pissing and moaning about Covington, while at the same time, Overgender Bender has been sucking up to Covington. And I'm going to go ahead and notify Harold Covington about both matters. So that people who claim to be Christian identity, you know, the truth of the matter is, as far as Covington is concerned, the genuine Christian identity people, most of them, it's not that they hate Covington, it's just that they really don't much care what he does or not here. The vast majority of them don't. There's been some people who have chewed on my ass because I've allied with Harold Covington. But I tell them is that Harold Covington's plans is no way incompatible with dual seed line Christian identity. If you want to move to Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, that's fine by me. I don't have a problem with it. But, folks, I believe in Great Tribulation is going to go ahead and destroy most of the critters running around in the world, and it's going to have to take care of the Uyghurs first and foremost. That's what's going to have to take care of. So, anyway, I'm looking at this 7-day forecast, and it looks like it's going to be hot and muggy. And I may have to get to where I turn the air conditioner on. But getting on with it, you have Liar Bill DeClueless over on Four Fags Thieves, and he's been sucking up with Scott David Spidell and Wigger Swell Williams. And I was going to go ahead and Wigger Swell was sort of, sucking up to Liar Bill. They remembered that Wigger Swell is a creatard, and Liar Bill supposedly claims to be Christian identity. So I was going to go ahead and do this little poem about Wigger Swell and Liar Bill sitting in a tree, BUTTFUCKING. First comes love, and then comes marriage, and then comes little sword mancer Brian Rio in a baby carriage.
I mean, that's what them two, that's what the old Liar Bill and Mumpsnuts would produce, is, you know, some little critter looks sort of like, well, he wouldn't look quite as dark as Brian Real. I mean, Brian Real's pretty dark. I mean, a lot of times he looks like a nigger, and sometimes, a lot of times he looks like a gook, and sometimes he looks like a beaner. But, folks, I mean, he's right on the edge of the brown paper bag test here. If you go ahead and have one of them brown paper bags, that's pretty well what the color of old Brian Real's shit skin hide would be. Is sort of old paper, you know, craft paper bag, brown paper bag. But getting on to it, I went ahead and told about how Liar Bill was just a petty criminal, how he was a thief, how he went ahead and claimed to me, "I'll never talk to say to you or get you child molestation, Martin, because I was accused of domestic sexual assault twice on my nieces." And this time, you know, first time he didn't talk about his nieces here. So anyway, I went ahead and brought the matter up, and Liar Bill was going ahead, and this APOC and Beer Bell went ahead and posted it. He went ahead and posted it over on, over on the fora. And one of the admins said, "Well, Linstead's a clown. He's an idiot. How dare you go ahead and post anything by that clown? We're not going to allow it." So they censored it. They wouldn't allow anything by me to be posted, but they allow Liar Bill DeClues to say anything he wants about me. But Liar Bill ended up, like, for example, I went ahead and said, sent to the Four Fact Thieves the truth about Liar Bill, Mumpsnuts, the Clueless. I said, "Hello, Billy, this is Banjo Billy APOC." And Banjo Billy, he's a little pure sight tard who essentially wants me, I mean, it's as if I have to preach to his standards. I have to preach what he wants me to preach. I mean, I'm supposed to be his own little personal bell priest, and I cannot cuss. I cannot say anything here because that isn't what he goes to church for, if he ever goes to church. And what happens is that I'm sort of like God. When Banjo Billy wants to go ahead and pick up God, he just goes ahead, and God is so, you know, God's just like my little puppy dog. He's just so grateful to be loved on my terms. God will just wag his little tail, and God will be so pleased here that finally I'm paying attention to God. And that's the way most of these retards end up acting here. They're sanctimonious. They're idiotic. They have no idea of what or how to behave. Folks, if you had a child that treated you like some of these retards want to treat God, I mean, I would spank that child. And it's no wonder that God goes ahead and spanks wiggers, or wants to spank wiggers, and will spank wiggers during the Great Tribulation. But I said, "Hello, Billy, APOC. This is my little sock puppet. I'm banned here, so I can't fight with my mom's dad, Niglet, niece, molester that I ordained for 3 days and kicked out. APOC knows the line, sack of dog shit. However, if you are forward the info on the delusional snitch who everyone has kicked out, then I'll feed it to you. But you need to keep my name and sock puppet out of the Hail Victory, Pastor Martin L.D. Linstead, CJCCAN. For example," and then I went ahead and said, "Liar Bill was also serving a 6-month prison sentence at the St. Louis Workhouse, originally posted by Liar Bill. False claims of military service are about as low as it gets. I myself enlisted for 2 years in the Air Force as soon as I was 17 and was honorably discharged at 19. I know that 2 years in the peacetime Air Force is no big deal, but I have too much respect for military service to lie about it." Look, Mumpsnuts, there never was a 2-year program in the Air Force. There's a 2-year program in the Army, because, folks, I joined the 2-year program. But there never was a two-year program in the Air Force. So getting down on it here. Oh, the thing about it is neither me nor Stevie O. I mean, I've been kicked out of Eli James's thing here. I'm going to go ahead and talk to Hill Covington about this Steve the Elder and how he's just a tard, a censoring tard, who's part Jew, who covers up for Mamzers and Jews, who censors Hill Covington's very own people. Well, Banjo Billy pretends to be some sort of Christian, okay? The thing about it is that I don't know if... You see, you came here a little bit late. 4 months ago, Steve Elder went ahead and censored Northwest for saying that Brian Reel wasn't white. And pretty well, me and Northwest went to Hill Covington. Hill Covington admitted that Steve Elder was, well, he said, a harmless eccentric. I mean, essentially, McFag is a nutcase, is pretty well what Covington was trying to say. He said, I don't really want to do this here. And he said, I'll go ahead and look into it. He went ahead and looked into it, and by the time he was about to go ahead and come to a conclusion, the Northwest Front Forum disappeared because the Canadian kid who ran it ran off and didn't leave him the access codes or anything. It was in Hill Covington's podcast about 2 weeks ago or so. And so it became a moot point. Can't go ahead and complain about censorship by this goofy bastard, even if it's on behalf of a Mamzer and against one of Hill Covington's real white people coming up there, if the source of contention is pretty well gone. And anyway, Northwest sort of bowed out and says, well, I ain't going to make trouble for you, Harold. You don't need to go ahead and kick anybody out over me. It's just I want you to know what this character's like. So once it became a sort of moot point because the forum disappeared, it didn't matter. Now, this guy here is pretty good. He could probably run a forum himself. And I don't know. After all this sort of crap that's happened with all these tars that Covington is letting in, I don't know. I've been going ahead and thinking, and I mean, John Britton, he's not giving me support in jumping, getting on Harold Covington's case, because as he looks at it, I don't care. He doesn't really care whether or not I'm allied with Covington or against Covington. It's nothing to him. And that's the way it is with most Chris and Danny people. Really, the biggest collection or the biggest bunch of Christian identity people are here in the Ozarks. That is the biggest collection of them. They're not in the Northwest. So the vast majority of Christian identity people don't really give a shit one way or another about Harold Covington. And then when you have people like Pastor John Britton, who lives in Idaho, who really don't give a shit one way or another about Covington, I mean, I'm not going to get it. I can't go ahead and say, tell Covington, well, if you don't kick out McFag, nobody from Christian Identity, the real Christian Identity is going to follow you, because the fact of the matter is that, well, hardly nobody from the real Christian Identity follows Gil Covington. So I'm not going to go ahead and make a threat even if it's true, but it's not true. The vast majority, I've heard more anti-Gil Covington stuff from people that I've heard pro Covington stuff. So I can't really go, but on the other hand, what are you going to do with a character like McFag or Steve Elder? I mean, the guy's just a whiny pussy. He censors what few good people you're about to get in order to save some dirty shit-skinned mamzer that censored everybody who's hated as an anti-racist activist. I mean, Steve Elder is the sort of character you want to go ahead and boot out whenever you find the goofy bastard. I mean, it's sort of, you know, and I was telling Northwest that. He said, well, I'd like for you to go ahead and bring it up with Harold Covington, because Carol does sort of respect your opinion. And second of all, it's sort of screwball to go ahead and talk about goo-boo crap here when essentially this thing's sort of happening right now to where genuine people are being censored, you know, and for the benefit of a retard, of an idiot, of a part Jew who's supporting Jews like Eli James and supporting mamzers like Brian Reel. I mean, you can't go ahead and say you're for the white race if you're supporting Jews like Eli James and mamzers like Brian Reel and censoring white people and taking down their web pages. I mean, somebody who will take down a web page is a danger to everyone. Because who do you think's going to be the first web page that's taken down? It's not going to be the pro-government ones. It's not going to be the pro-Jew ones. It's going to be web pages like mine who are taken down by people like Brian Reel. But let's say Brian Reel gets mad here and then tries to take down ones that are not even remotely Christian identity, like, say, Nimbusters. Taking down Nimbusters twice. Say, Upstanding Citizens. Took down Upstanding Citizens once. Folks, this dirty little mancer will not rest, okay? Well, the thing about it is that, you know, Math 1488 was saying that math is, there's no fighting among the Strasserites like Metzger, and no infighting in the Tea Party in American third position. The answer is you have no idea what sort of infighting is going on in the Tea Party. You have people who do not like niggers, and then you have these people who just love niggers to show they're not racist. Folks, you know, don't mention Tea Party, because I've been in Reform Party politics. I've been in, you know, Constitutional, you know, when it was the United States Taxpayer Party. Don't tell me there's no infighting among them, okay? As far as American Third Party, I don't know. As far as Strasserites, well, the Tea Party's long been infiltrated. You know, I mean, that's what, you know, Math 1488 was saying there's no infighting among the Tea Party. Folks, I mean, when you were even younger, when you are today. I mean, I was in the Missouri Reform Party, and I got denounced by Pat Buchanan for racism. I see these small third parties, and folks, you got more infighting there than you do among the Republicans and Democrats. So no, don't tell me about no infighting in the Tea Party. I know better. Now, as far as fighting among the Strasserites like Metzger, folks, if you're a Strasserite, there's only two or three others that can go ahead and understand you. Why would you want to fight with about the only other two Strasserites who are real Strasserites in the country? And the answer is, that's why there's no fighting among Strasserites, because, I mean, left-wing National Socialism. I mean, it's an interesting thing. It's, you know, it's an interesting concept, but folks, it's sort of like fighting among the preterists. Preterists are so screwed up that you cannot even have an argument with a preterist. They're so far out there. I once tried to have an argument with a preterist right around 1998. Another preterist came in, and two preterists started fighting among each other, and they started ignoring me, so I just went ahead and just bowed out, and I'm sure the argument is by now over among the two preterists, but they're so far out there that you cannot have an argument with somebody you know absolutely nothing about, who think, you know, the only thing you think about them is that they're sort of screwed up in the head, and you don't want anything to do with them, okay? Well, or Ephraim Scepter Nuts. Russ is an Ephraim Scepter nut. He's the youngest Ephraim Scepter nut. I don't think Russ's kids, I don't think they're Ephraim Scepter nuts. Pastor Buddy's kids are not Ephraim Scepter nuts. I mean, Ephraim Scepter is going to probably die out. You know what I mean? But they, you know, they get them all mad with old Ephraim Scepter. Is that you can go ahead and absolutely demolish Russ on Ephraim Scepter. I once went ahead and gave Russ 15 minutes to talk about Ephraim Scepter. And I said, Judah will have the scepter until Shiloh. I said, okay, well, when's Shiloh? He said, it means when there's everlasting peace. Well, if you're going to wait for Judah to have the scepter until there's everlasting peace, essentially, Judah has the scepter forever until Jesus Christ comes back. There's not going to be any everlasting peace, so I guess Judah does have the scepter, you know, for all the past and the foreseeable future. You know, I don't see any everlasting peace coming. I tried to tell Russ that, and Russ seen my point. About 30 seconds, he'll say the same stupid crap. I mean, Russ will dust himself off and go back to the same old trough. And, you know, to me, I think it's funny. You know, because, well, you know, I know Ephraim Scepter's bullshit. But but to Russ, I mean, he actually believes it. But, you know, Russ is used to being the only one that believes it. And the same way with all these other people. Strassarites, preterists, what have you. I mean, they're so out there. They're so out there that the reason you can't have a conflict is that there's nothing to argue about. I mean, folks, if you believe that Yahweh's kingdom or Christ's kingdom returned in AD 70, I mean, you don't need me giving you a hard time arguing with you. You need, well, I wouldn't say professional help, because I got professional help and I didn't like all the doping and stuff. I won't say professional help, but essentially, you're so freaking delusional that there's no sense even arguing with you. Okay? So, okay. Well, the thing about it is that Russ's programming, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It just kicks back in. It kicks back in, he takes a lick in, and he still keeps on ticking. And, you know, like a Timex. I mean, heck, his programming is tougher than even a Timex. And Russ actually believes this stuff. I mean, nobody else... I mean, as far as I can tell you, Russ Walker is the youngest Ephraim Scepter believer. Russ is 67 years old. How long of a life expectancy does Ephraim Scepter have? And the answer... Well, it might be resurrected as, you know, I mean, there's always people who believe any stupid thing. But, hey, I don't worry about it. As far as Strassarites, I sort of know what a Strassarite is, but I've never had an argument with one. I mean, they're sort of few and far between, and I guess Strassarites only want to argue with other Strassarites. Their notions are just too far esoteric for us, you know, mortal people here. You know what I mean? Well, I'm not worried about, you know, putting Russ on a support system. Russ is going to have it better than I am. Last month he went to Europe. This coming month, he's going to go to Maine. I mean, for someone who's real poor, old Russ gets to go to good places here and just leaves us sweltering in Massachusetts or Missouri or wherever the hell we're at. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Well, but, you know, Russ is no threat. Russ is no threat to anybody other than, I don't know, Russ ain't a threat to himself. I mean, Russ is okay. Russ will go ahead and, just like he did today, he will gum, he's like an attack possum with no teeth. he will just go ahead and gum up the works. he was pretty well chewing on their ass for censoring all, for blocking all the guests here. So, Russ is my faithful attack possum. Ah, get it, Russ. Foul. Russ don't smell very good. Russ don't have very sharp, well, Russ has more teeth than I do, but you know what I mean. I mean, Russ is sort of like a senile attack possum. But I like Russ. I was like to kill him, two nights ago when I was talking about hosting on this new host, which wouldn't censor me, and he was talking about how I ought not to sue Eli James, but I'll sue this new host, just to go ahead and make sure to stay honest. I said, Russ, I'm not trying to sue anybody who's going to sue, you know, put up my webpage. I'm going to sue Eli James for essentially blocking three of my webpages. But you have these idiots, like Mumps Nuts, Liar Bill the Clueless. And folks, people are so freaking retarded, they don't even have any time in the armed forces to where they know that there is no such thing as a 2-year Air Force program. Folks, if there had been a 2-year Air Force program, guess who would have signed up? There was a 2-year Army program. But folks, you didn't get to be a supply clerk. You didn't get to be a REMF, rear echelon motherfucker. You got a choice of being 11 Bang Bang, which meant infantry. 11 Echo, combat, you know, engineer, infantry. Now, the only thing that was open for, the scoutings was cavalry scout. And the job description of cavalry scout is you ride around in a jeep in the fold of the gap, and if the Russians don't kill you, it's safe for everybody else. Which isn't too bad of a thing here, because the Russians never did pour over the fold of the gap. And I suppose, you know, I mean, you probably will learn to be a very good jeep mechanic. But I wanted to be a field artillery surveyor, and regrettably, I was somewhat colorblind, so I went ahead and took the one which had the highest deep kicker of 15 Juliet 10, which was Lance Operations / Fire Direction Control Specialist, which meant that you were part of the bunch which would plot how to target in the command post the Lance missile operations. Essentially what they wanted is they wanted smart white boys to target these little battlefield nuclear and high explosive tactical missiles. And that's what I went into. And I got sent to the number 6 rated out of number 6 in Germany, which was the 2nd 42nd Field Artillery under Colonel Nutball Fred, Frederick Ellen Van Horn. But folks, people are so retarded that they believe that Liar Bill was able to sign up for only 2 years from the age of 17 and 19, and he got an honorable discharge after 2 years in the Air Force. So I sent an email saying, well, Liar Bill was convicted of burglary when he was 18. Well, the Air Force must have been real nice to go ahead and give him a give him an 8-month furlough. You know, 2 for committing the crime and 6 for working at the St. Louis County Workhouse. And Liar Bill said, nah, I was 21, I got convicted. Well, okay. Let's say that's true, although I doubt it. I mean, Liar Bill's just a liar. Folks, does anybody have enough brains to figure out there's no such thing as a 2-year Air Force sign-up? And the answer is, no, these people are retarded. None of these people have actually served in the armed forces. Certainly not back. Even the Army does not have a 2-year sign-on, from what I gather, anymore. That was, you know, that was pretty well at the tail end of the Carter Army, when they were trying to build up the Hollow Army that Jimmy Carter had. And essentially, once Ronald Reagan got in and built up the armed forces, and you had a big depression in 1982? pretty well they did away. They eventually did away, I think, by 1985 with a two-year program in the Army. But, folks, here are people who believe this stupid crap. You know what I mean? Hey, what's your problem? You showed up here. Okay. Anyway, I like the canary in the mine shaft here. Wait, what's your problem? You just started while I was talking about mumps nuts, reliability, clueless, and we didn't have hardly anybody in there. I was about to go ahead and quit for the night. Well, folks, what you have is you have retarded people who believe retarded crap. But APOC goes ahead and posts it, and guess what? Guess what? Let's go ahead and look and see what they end up having to say. They said, essentially, an admin there deleted it, says, don't you post anything by Linstead. He's been banned. Whereas, you know, Pastor Bill is a respected member. Well, folks, Pastor Bill is a lying sack of shit. But Pastor Bill had to explain all his felony convictions. And, of course, he lied about them. Didn't say anything. You know, he went ahead and admitted that he was accused of rape. But the girl was lying, you know, and it was his niece, and it wasn't his niggling nieces, and it wasn't this, and it wasn't that. And folks, Liar Bill told a mixture of lies and pretended that everybody knew about his convictions. Well, if everybody knew about his convictions, why is everybody bitching about the fact that Linstead sent somebody to go ahead and tell everybody about Liar Bill's convictions? Okay? Well, Liar Bill ain't no pastor. He used to be Chaplain Bill. From what I gather, Gillette did not ordain him. Billy Roper certainly couldn't or didn't ordain him. Supposedly, he's a pastor because I ordained him. Before I, quote, ordained him, and I went ahead and told people, I said, look, I did ordain him. He begged, he pleaded, and he pissed, and he moaned. He begged me to ordain him, and, a number of people told me to go slow. There was one person who told me, you don't really know this guy, and even Pastor John Britt says, well, you don't really know this guy very well, do you? I said, no, I don't. And folks, if I'd known what I'd known then, I wouldn't have ordained him. But folks, it seemed like a good idea at the time, because here I was with Morris Gillette. And Morris Gillette has no idea of what the hell he's doing. He's just a retard who essentially knows a little bit about Christian identity. But he does not believe, huh? No, nobody's talking shit on you unless you have your problem, you're Morris Gillette. In any case, Mo Gillette, essentially would play the game that people like myself and Pastor John Britton had to wait 4 years before he would ordain us, and some retard like Joe Johnson would go ahead and become senior pastor. And Joe Johnson pretty well screwed the pooch. He went ahead and banned about everybody he could, including me. And Gillette went along with it. So, Gillette was a screw-up. Gillette's a screw-up. I mean, Ray Redfern said this, that, hey, I've known Mo Gillette, Morris Gillette since high school. And let me tell you, trouble follows him like a stray dog. So, Gillette was kicked out, and Ray Redfern did not bring him back. He knew better. Butler was not going to wasn't going to go ahead and have him back. Well, I don't know about that. He has a bunch of tards. Eli does, and it might be possible he's padding his guest list with a bunch of sock pups. He had some character from Chicago who wrote a 911 truther book. But I guess that tard couldn't see that Elier was practicing censorship. You know what I mean? So getting on with... excuse me, I'm getting tired. Elier does stupid crap, okay? So getting on with it... Well, I don't know if you heard today's program. You know, after he went ahead and blocked all the guests, he blocked them because, you know, guest number 10 predicted he'd be blocking all the guests or protecting fag. And sure enough, he did go ahead and block all the guests. But essentially, he blocked all the guests in order to protect McFag. Folks, a character like, huh? Okay, I listened to some of it. Essentially, all it was just 9/11 stuff here that you can hear anywhere else. Essentially, every crank you have in the movement has his own little conspiracy theory. And since it no longer costs any money, well, McFaggot is, his real name is, Steve Elder. And, in any case, getting on with it, huh? Oh, you seen your, you know, you see your face in the 9/11 cloud? Oh, was that on Weekly World News, along next to Batboy? Getting on with it. Okay. Well, I don't know if that was next to Batboy, you know, next to Batboy on Weekly World News, which went defunct a couple years ago. Wasn't too long ago. Anyway, he had some character, and they were just going ahead. And that's what Elier's list is. It's a bunch of assorted mamsers and retards essentially saying some little stupid thing to affirm that, yes, they are white, they're Aryan, they're Christian identity, they're saved, or what have you, as if they don't believe it themselves. And Liar Bill is one of the delusionals. He pretends he's a pastor. And folks, pretty well I caught him about 3 days. And I pretty well told the story about Liar Bill, and guess what? I got it blocked over at StumbleWin, of all things. Because these people are still scared that there's going to be a terms of service complaint. Well, folks, watch your end up, hearing this. Right now, I am in negotiations to go ahead and get whitenationalist.org up on a free speech server. And I'm working on suing Brian Real. And I found out this McFag was Steve Elder, so now I got another name to sue. Okay? So, in any case, getting on with it here. I don't know. It looks like everybody showed up way too late. And folks, I don't know. I'm tired. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take the Eli James segment and put it in to the next segment of the Movement Turd, or one segment of the Movement Turd. And I'll go ahead and talk about Liar Bill, the clueless, a little bit more. Huh? Drink me some Coke? Well, I don't know. It's very, very hot here in Southwest Missouri. And what I need to do is, I've been up since, I've been up since 8 o'clock. And, some coffee ice, whatever would be good. Shoot, I mean, I feel sort of sad because I think you probably just got off of work or wherever you were at here, and you weren't here earlier, and shoot, I feel sort of bad about not providing... Oh, an iron, huh? Oh, iced coffee is fantastic. Yeah. this ain't McDonald's here. I'd have to go ahead and brew some coffee and then ice it or something like that here. Which isn't too bad an idea. But I don't know. I'm pretty tired. And I got 16 shows, counting this one, in the box, and I haven't uploaded any of them. I've listened to them, some of them twice. And folks, I need to sit down and I need to get them out. I really do. I really, really do. So, I'm going to go ahead and... Well, I don't have it. You know, straight from the... No Mickey D's. Oh, you need it straight from the grinder via the bean? Well, I don't have any beans here. It's sort of expensive, really. Usually, I'd probably end up drinking from Folgers. You know, I mean, I do like Folgers. But people say it's not really fresh. Well, if it is fresh ground, then you immediately brew it. So, coffee, that is. Anyway, folks, I'm just pretty well beat. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, hell victory. Huh? And, folks, hopefully I'll give a better show Tuesday. Or I might go ahead and do a short as to what's going on. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and say, hell victory. And, I got about 5 or 6 segments. I'm going to go ahead and say, hell victory. I'm going to go ahead and call it quits for the night. So, hell victory, folks. There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened judges 3 and jury slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNL. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a pop named Visser, a Duke Mifflin little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum that niggly molester, pop sister, pussy, possum, chester, not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty juice commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Well, folks, this is definitely the last section of the Movement Turd. I was speaking off the cuff, and I decided maybe I shouldn't be recording it. Anyway, we were talking about Eli James. And we were talking about Eli James's bullshit. And last week, and this week a little bit too, although I mainly covered how McFadden's real name was Steve Elder, we were covering to where Eli was changing back what he did, what he started out 7 months ago, saying that some Canaanites could be saved. And that's what started the big fight with Finkelschini and Emma Heiser and the rest. That's what started the crap. And now Eli, for whatever reason, is back to claiming that, well, truthfully, for once, is that no, Canaanite Jews cannot be saved. Canaanites cannot be saved. Non-whites cannot be saved. I mean, they don't have souls, and they don't have, I mean, they're not under the law. They're not to be given eternal life any more than my little puppy dog sitting at my feet is. So Elias back to where he should have been in the first place, you know, if he was a white man, which he's not, but getting on with it. You know, and the Wigger problem was saying, well, get, Watcher was saying, that was the whole reason for the big piss fight last December and this January and early February between Eliar and Finkelshimi. Eliar claimed that some Canaanites could be saved, and Finkelshimi had a fit about it. And Brian Reel got on the side of Finkelshimi. And, by the way, there's hardly anybody listening to the Finkelshimi Swordmancer show anymore. Hardly anybody. And they, of course, block all the guests. There's not anybody even bothering to listen to the thing anymore. Eli got more people, but now he is back to claiming, well, no! No Canaanite Jews can be saved! And you have the same tards, you have the same retards, who were listening, listening to We're at War with Uranus. Who now said, we're at war with Uranus, when 6 months ago they were at war with Uranus. Well, either Eurasia or East Asia, I forget what the hell they, George Orwell's 1984, to where they'd go ahead and change, Oceania would change sides every so often. Every year or so, they have a new enemy. And we were always at war with Russia. We were always at war with East Asia. Or we're at war with Eurasia. Well, essentially, Eliar goes ahead and changes it to where either Canaanite Jews can be saved or Canaanite Jews cannot be saved. And here are these tards. The same old tards just lapping it up. Now, he has a slightly new bunch of tards. I gotta go ahead and grant that Eliar does come up with some new tards, and somebody was saying that Eli James is using sock puppets, and that might be true. But there's the same old tards. You know what I mean? Well, the poopy dog is doing okay. He had a little flea bag is laying at my feet. He had a flea bath 3 days ago. He's probably going to have a flea bath tomorrow because he gets to where he gets more and more fleas. He gets them bad in the summer. So getting on with it, what to do? What to do? And the answer is to do nothing. That's sort of Dallas, like Edgar Steele would say. But folks, I mean, Eli James changes. He changes one way and then he changes the other, and he lies that he changed here. Well, I never said Canaanites can be saved. Well, yes, you did, Eli. You know what I mean? As far as Visser, no, there's no new Visser news. In fact, Visser's forum is pretty well dead. I mean, there hasn't been any posting on it for about, better part of close to a week. You know what I mean? Nothing with Visser. I think Visser has given up on Christian identity altogether, which is good. I mean, he really didn't have any part Christian identity because he wasn't, an Israelite. He was just a Mamzer here. But I got to laugh to where in 2009 he was saying Jeremy Williams was not Christian Day. He never was a part of Christian Day. I'm a part of it. Well, folks, by the time that 2011 came and he had played Pisser Possum and played dead for 4 times in 1 year, well, he's no longer a part of Christian identity. Not at all. Okay? So no, there's no new Visser. There's new Visser material. But folks, I mean, Eli is a lot slicker than Finkelshimi. Finkelshimi is just such an evil kike. He's just such an evil criminal that once you get screwed, nobody wants to go and get screwed again. Old Victor Switzer disappeared sometime in the middle of February, soon after he claimed that I was a Jew. because my mother was a Jew named Samuelson out on the Lone Prairie. By the way, Pastor John Britton, last week, he was going ahead looking at Jews per capita. He found out that the fewest Jews in the United States per capita were on the plains of, were in North and South Dakota. And I said, I can tell you that. There's not a single Jew to be found except maybe in Pierre or Sioux Falls or Rapid City where they're lawyers, maybe a doctor. I mean, there's no Jews on the Lone Prairie. I mean, it gets rather rough out on the Lone Prairie. I mean, it gets cold out on the Lone Prairie. And you have to feed the cows on the Lone Prairie. Them Jews wouldn't be able to make it here, not even if they burned their snouts. You know what I mean? Well, no, there's no Jew. There's, you know, I mean, that's what I pointed out here. I had old Kazar Dick Nimola. He's a Finnish Jew from the Air Force. He lives in Washington, D.C., or Reston, Virginia, or wherever. Same place that Matt Twat Zogbot's daddy used to live as a federal agent. And in any case, Nimola used to call me a Swedish Jew. And I said, look, Jill, look, Nimola, you've admitted that your uncles and aunts married Jews. They married Armenians, they married Finnish Jews, they married Swedish Jews, they married all sorts of Jews. Now, Nimola, why is it that way back in the 20s, your aunts and uncles married a bunch of Jews? Could it be, Nemo, that you're a Jew yourself? Oh, he hated dual seed line Christian identity. He would come up with this crap about how dual seed line was derived from the Talmud. So me and Hengist threw at the time says, okay, Jew boy, when the Talmud doesn't say you dirty kikes are the spawn of Satan, we really want to know. Well, actually, it does sort of hint around in the Talmud, I forget where. But it does sort of hint in the Talmud that, yes, Jews are descended from Cain, who's the son of Lucifer. So it does sort of admit the Jews are the spawn of Satan in a sort of sneaky way. But, you know, there's no way that Nimla could make it here with me and Hengist said, okay, Jew boy, you Talmudic screwer, well, the Talmud doesn't admit that you dirty kikes are descended from Cain. Tell me. I mean, you know so much, Jew boy. You're a Talmudic screwer. Why don't you tell me about, you know, why don't you tell us where it says that? And Nimla, what could Nimla do? Well, he did not like me or Hengist at all. Of course, Clinton, now he didn't like me or Hengist. You like just like me less than Hengist. Hengist just simply said she was a lying whore because she ran away from her father, you know, from her husband, you know, the Grand Dragon. I said that she was, you know, I said that I heard she was screwed all the Klansmen. Okay? So, are there any, what? Know any have them all? I don't even know what a have them all is, to be honest with you. So, anyway, I'm not sure what a have them all is. Anyway, since Northwest didn't show up, he asked me a question. I'll go ahead and answer his question some other night. He was asking about trees and how Eve could go ahead and eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But did Adam, you know, if that was having sex with Satan, did Adam have sex with Satan or something like that? He was asking a question about that. And I told them, in some cases, I really don't know, but I'd go ahead and it says she shared with them. Okay. She shared with them. Well, it says, the woman you gave to me, she didn't give me and I didn't eat. Is pretty well what, so I guess it does say she shared with them, okay? From the tree. Well, Northwest was asking about the tree. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and reread Bertrand Comparé and see what Bertrand Comparé has to say. And then I'm going to go ahead and refer him to Bertrand Comparé. That's what I'm going to do. If I think I'm going to punt, I'm going to punt. I know the Herbert Armstrong version of it, in that it was actual fruit here. I mean, they don't believe in, you know, Jesus is part of Satan, but you know, I know the Herbert Armstrong British Israelite version, you know, but I think that's bullshit. Somewhat bullshit, okay? So, fair enough. I mean, that's the best, you know. Well, that would be... Well, Satan was evil. Satan didn't like the idea of being replaced as the acme of Yahweh's creation by these mortal beings, and that's why he got all upset about that, and that's why he rebelled, him and his 200, main demon watchers. I don't know if there were other little demons who went ahead and went along with it or not, but, I mean, Satan rebelled. And he rebelled because he didn't want to be replaced. So, I mean, pretty well, you go ahead and read that Tubal-Cain was Tubal-Cain became known as the, you know, the greatest of the smiths and the instructors of those who worked in iron and bronze, and the smith. And Kenite, in some cases, not only meant, you know, descendant of Cain, but also meant, you know, like a smith or an artisan. You know, that's where I come up with old Tubal-Cainite or picks here, like Steve Elder, a.k.a. McFag, McBrag, whatever. I mean, his people were taught by this demon. That's, you know, that's why the Hittites were so powerful. They were the first to have iron weapons. And those iron weapons were, well, they were harder and sharper. And once you knew how to smelt iron, they were cheaper than bronze. Bronze had to be used. You had to have copper and you had to have tin. And sometimes, you know, initially tin came from Cyprus, but eventually it'd go as far as, what, Cornwall, England. That's where that tin had to come from. Whereas if you could go ahead and find a hematite or whatever iron supply, which would be about 20% pure iron, you could, once you knew how to smelt iron, you could go ahead and use it. There's far more iron than there is, what, copper and tin. And it was so much harder, okay? So, in any case, you know, and yes, Watcher is bringing up the matter of free will. Now, folks, I do believe there's free will, sort of like this character called Apollonian, or Appy, over on Stumblehead. You know, the guy's a tard. The guy's a retard. You know, he's a little shit-skinned mamzer. Somebody said what his name was, but he's such a retard, it's not even worth repeating it, because his real name, he was a retard as well. He got kicked out of graduate school because he was a total retard. He's a stupid shitskin, and his name isn't even important because he's an idiot. But I went ahead and explained to Appy is that being a shitskin mamzer and a beast in the field, he didn't have free will. He was just nothing more than an animal, so hey, instincts was everything important to him. He didn't have free will. Not that he missed it, because he didn't believe in free will anyway. You know, the idiot. And he didn't like me responding to him like that, but he was an idiot. So, folks, white people have free will. Now, I've been thinking several times, is that if you were called by Jesus Christ, and you know, I don't know if you were called by Jesus Christ, I can sort of tell by the fruits. And folks, this is not juicy fruit to where mamzers are claiming that you have sanctimonious little pharisaical horseshit or juju that you're following. I mean, if you're actually called by Christ, you, of course, have free will to refuse Christ. You really do. But, in any case, you have these people. I mean, like Appy. You know, Appy was just an idiot. And I went ahead and said, look, Appy, you're just a mamzer. You don't have free will. Not that you want it. Because Appy didn't believe in free will. He believed in determinism. Everything is set here. Well, folks, mamzers believe in determinism because it gives them an out. Because they don't have the ability to create options or create anything else here, because essentially they're a lower grade of subhuman people. But folks, if you have a connection with Jesus Christ, I can't go ahead and destroy it by anything I say or do. It is you. If you are called by Jesus Christ, then you have a link, you know, because he is the vine and you are the branches. If you have a link to Jesus Christ, and you've been quickened by Christ's Spirit, you're white, and you've been quickened by Christ's Spirit, it's you, only you, who can go ahead and break the link, because Christ isn't going to call you and then just lead you on and abandon you. It is you who have the free will to determine whether or not what sort of life you will live and whether you will earn eternal life. And it is you who choose whether to sever that connection in Christ and to die and to be stillborn on the way to eternal life. And it is you who determine whether or not you live or die once you have been quickened by Christ, because Christ is not a spiritual abortionist. It is you who decide whether or not you will live or die. And therefore, you do have free will. Because once you ended up having knowledge of the difference between good and evil, you had a choice to choose good or to choose evil. And that is what Moses in the Old Covenant told the children of Israel. Choose you this day who you will serve. And regrettably, most Swiggers choose to serve themselves, their own lusts, their own appetites, mammon. Wiggers choose to worship and serve themselves. And then they build a little god, like a little idol, and they call that idol, in their own little imaginations, God. Do you think those people really don't know that this little idol that they create out of clay or wood or bronze or something, do you think they really believe that that is God? And the answer is no. What they believe is God is this little conception in their own mind, and they went ahead and created a concrete form on which to worship here. I mean, I guess I've gone on a little bit about the concept of free will. But I guess I got into it, and I guess this is going to do for the sermon. But folks, if you're white, and Jesus Christ has called you, and you find out, reading Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, why Christ talked in parables, because he didn't want to go ahead and call most of these people. He didn't want to heal most of these people. He wanted them to die in ignorance. But say Jesus Christ has called you, like this young man who was wealthy here, but he didn't want to give up his wealth here. He wanted to live for today. He didn't want to take the plunge. So essentially, Christ made the offer and he didn't take it. So where is that young man of great wealth today? The answer is he's dead. Now, of course, Peter is dead. James, John, they're dead. But they have an eternal life. When they died, it was as if the next second they were alive, because the time passed for them within the twinkling of an eye. and they will be resurrected, and they will be kings and rulers in Jesus Christ's kingdom, and they have earned their eternal life. But this young man who had a good deal, and he went ahead and he's given an option. He decided he did not want to take it. Christ offered him a chance for eternal life, and he decided he was going to live for today and for himself. And as a result, well, he's dead. Will he get a second chance? And I don't know. That depends. I mean, I remember in Herbert Armstrong's church, they were talking about first resurrection, second resurrection, and third resurrection. And folks, I don't read in the Bible, I don't read about any first, second, third resurrection. I read about one resurrection. So, I mean, I do have to do some study myself, okay? Well, yeah, I don't always care for Liar Bill either. Mumps Nuts is a little tard. He's a lying little retard. I mean, Mumps Nuts is delusional. I mean, I realized he was nuts. I mean, I realized he wasn't too bright when he came down, and I thought I could go ahead and use him because, well, at least he ain't too smart. He can't get in too much trouble. Well, silly me. Silly me. Okay. Silly me. So, is there another chat somewhere? Answer, I don't know. I don't think so. Not here. Okay? So, folks, I do believe in free will. There is such a thing as free will, but it's only for someone who is white, and it's only for someone who Jesus Christ extends his hand to. And you have the choice of taking it or not. And if you don't take it, then you no longer really have free will, because essentially every path you take will lead into the grave. In many cases, once you've made the decision of which you serve, you're going to end up having a bunch of little bitty decisions that you have to make here. But, you know, once you decided you were going to serve Yahweh and you're going to serve your people, essentially the progress you're going to make or where you are headed for has already been determined. All you're making is just some little minor course corrections. So, folks, that's what in many cases this movement is about. That's what Christian identity is about. It don't have a lot. It's not like an ornate Roman temple or Catholic church. It's a rather beautifully austere religion. At least that's the way I think of it as. Dual seed like Christian identity is a way, but it's a way that is only offered to the white man, and only offered to the white man who Jesus Christ has called. And if Jesus Christ has not called you, even if you be white, you won't be able to understand. You won't be able to activate the law of Yahweh written in your heart. So, I don't believe in determinism. I don't believe in predestination. At least not directly. I do believe in free will. But, folks, if you're not white, you're like Appy. Appy don't believe in free will because, and Appy's correct as far as he's concerned, because they're is no free will for Appy. There's no Jesus Christ hand or option for eternal life determined for Appy, because Appy is nothing more than a vessel of iniquity and wrath. That's all Appy is. That's all Appy will be. That's all Brian Reel will be. That's all Eli James will be. That's all Finkelshiny will be. That's all most of the little tars will be. It's not that they're going to go to hell. They're not going to burn for hell forever and ever and ever. They're just going to be here for a little while. They're going to kick in their ignorance, and then they're going to die. And that's going to be the end of that, okay? So, alrighty. Well, I'm going to go ahead, and I think I'm finally going to go ahead, and this is going to be the very last section of Moon Turd, because, well, pretty well, I was telling you my, well, my ideas concerning, you know, concerning, well, free will. I'll go ahead and look up the scripture about Nicodemus, to where Nicodemus needed to go ahead and understand, and Nicodemus finally did understand, okay? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call it a night, say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh. White men go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie. White men go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gospel. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love his greed, hi, hi, oh, the love of God our only need, hi, hi, oh. White men go, revolt, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi, hi, oh, ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi, hi, oh, ho. White men go, we vote, ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war, ho, on the courthouse lawn, let red blood flow.